papers. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Technical problem in the studio that was my fault. Oh, yeah. So I guess we got that all set, Ron? Okay. He's fixing my mistake. Anyway, do want to thank you all for being with us this evening. I don't know what else he wants me to do here. He'd have to come in and do it himself because I'm not sure I know. Are you, we all set, Ron? Okay. Never let a guy like me do any technical stuff. It's a problem every single time. Anyway, hey, I want to take care of a little business before we get started here. You know, I've been telling you about this annual gala that's going to take place down at the Naples Beach Hotel. That's this coming Monday, 6 o'clock. Oh, yeah, can't wait. $100 a person, going to be well worth it. Cocktail attire required, black tie is optional. Yours truly will have a black tie, of course. There's going to be great entertainment, great food, and a great night for Democrats featuring, of course, yours truly, Guy James, host of America's number one Democratic talk show, U.S. Congressman Jim Davis, chairman of the Florida Democratic Party, Scott Maddox, and, drum roll please, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Governor Howard Dean, on the first visit ever by a Democratic National Party chairman to Southwest Florida. We are excited. Now, here's the part I wanted to tell you about. This event is sold out. But I want to share a little secret with my listeners. Are you? Now, don't let anybody else know about this, okay? This is for my listeners. This event is sold out, but I happen to have 6 tickets available for the loyal listeners of the Guy James Show. And you have to buy them. I can't give them to you. But believe me, these these babies have been hard to come by. There's people offered all kinds of money for tickets to get in this. But we've had 6 tickets that we wanted to use here on the program, kind of as an incentive for our listeners only. And if you're listening to the show, now get your pencil and paper out. I know a lot of you in this area have been shut out of this because you couldn't get tickets. Call 239-405-0355. 239-405-0355 anytime after 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. All right, you got that? Anytime after 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, 239-405-0355, and you will have an opportunity to purchase a ticket. There's single tickets only, no pairs. Believe me, this is a hard ticket to get. You think the World Series was bad? Well, just, this is going to be quite a night, and we're all looking forward to it. We really, really are. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Join us. Give us a call. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 for all you folks down south of us here in the Naples area. A lot of news this week, a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to try and get over all of it this week. The political news, once again, well, it was not good this week. Not good at all. I know you've all heard about the bankruptcy bill that started this week, and I don't know. It bothers me to no end, and I think one of these things the Democrats are making a mistake about is, I think we got to be more careful. Let me just be frank about it, and I'm going to make some office holders angry with this, but I guess they're used to that. If they don't have thick skin by now, they should have. We're going to tell it like it is, and I think one of the problems that the Democrats have right now, and I'd like to stay on this subject for a while, one of the problems the Democrats have right now is sometimes picking candidates who aren't really Democrats. I don't think we do enough research and find out the background and find out the past actions and so forth and so on of the candidates good enough to make an informed decision. And so many times we get a Democrat into office that doesn't vote like a Democrat. In fact, you jump right over and I'm not really talking about partisanship here. I'm talking about doing what's right. And this bankruptcy bill this past week was, well, it was a disaster. Just a disaster. But I think one of the first things we Democrats need to do is what we used to call on the farm is separating the wheat from the chaff. And I know a lot of you know what that means. Maybe some of you don't. But separating the men from the boys, if you will. And we have to decide whether or not our party is going to continue on in the tradition of being there for the working men and women of this country. Are we going to be there for them like we've always been? You know, the average folks, the ones who built America, defended America, and made her great. We've always been there for those folks and for the poor and the disadvantaged and those in the minority. The Democratic Party has always been there. But now it seems to me, and I'd be anxious to find out whether you agree or not, it seems to me that there are forces at work within our party which I see as a very, very harmful. And if we don't weed them out, we're in for a big fall. We're seeing a certain faction of the party who seems hell-bent upon joining hands with these right-wing Republicans who, well, let's say it like it is, who systematically want to gut the government of anything, anything that benefits the average American. Let's just push it all up top toward the rich folks. They need it. You know, it's hard for me to believe that this past week, and what was so disappointing, this past week, 73 so-called Democrats voted for that bankruptcy bill this past week. You know, if it had been one or two or five, maybe I'd understand. No, not really. It would have been hard enough to believe that even one Democrat would vote that way, a true Democrat. But 73 of them, you know, those votes can't, they cannot possibly be defended. They can't. Other than being bought and paid for by the credit card industry, what defense could one of our legislators have for voting for this outrageous bill? And by the way, I haven't seen any of them or heard any of them give any good reasons. Have you? You know, I have heard of them say they did it to protect those who don't have credit problems because the credit card companies wouldn't have to charge such high interest if everyone paid their bills and they didn't get stuck with these bankruptcies. You know, if you're dumb enough to believe that the credit card companies are going to now lower their rates because this bill has been passed, then, well, turn your radio down to another station because you're not mentally capable of understanding a whole lot of what we're going to talk about tonight, if you're dumb enough to think that's the truth. These benevolent credit card companies are now going to lower the interest rates on everybody else because this bankruptcy bill has been passed. When donkeys fly. You know, why did these Democrats go against the working people in this country and deny them a chance to start over after being overwhelmed with debt? And the figures have shown, and they're indisputable, the vast majority of which has been caused by medical bills and loss of jobs. Study after study shows that only a very tiny percentage of bankruptcies are caused by people being irresponsible and going on wild spending sprees. You know, this bill was written by the credit card companies, for the credit card companies, and those who voted for it have been bought and paid for by those credit card companies. I think there's little question of that. They're the modern-day vampires that slowly suck the blood out of their victims. You know, a lot of these people go through a bankruptcy, and what's the first thing they get in the mail after their bankruptcy's over with and done through the courts? They get a credit card application because the credit card companies know they don't have any other debts at that time, and they're pretty good risk, huh? Yeah. Isn't that dandy? You know, they had $30 billion in profits last year, and it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. $30 billion is never enough, is it? Never enough for these right-wing neocons. Shame on anyone who voted for that bill. Shame on those 73 Democrats, and shame on those, 239 or however many was Republicans who voted for it. I expected the Republicans to vote for it because, after all, greed is the credo of their party. But for a Democrat to vote for it, any Democrat, is positively shameful. And let me say here and now, I will actively work against any Democrat who voted for this bill. You want help working against any Democrat who voted for that bankruptcy bill? You let me know. I'm on board. You know, we need legislators like that in our party like we need another Jim Traficant. Actually, I got more respect for Traficant than I do for any Democrat who voted for that bill. Even that rat would have voted against that bill. pretty shameful thing to say, isn't it? But it's true. Absolutely true. I hate the fact that I have to talk about that about my own party. But it's so true that this bill, you know, they didn't even make exceptions for real exceptions for military people who've gotten back from the service and so forth. No. They wanted to squeeze every last dime. And so I want to read you something I got from somebody. For those of you who have been convinced by your right-wing talking head friends that it's nothing but a bunch of freeloaders that caused all this problem, when every study that's been done has showed that it's not, but you still don't believe that because you're Sean Hannity and you're Rush Limbaugh, told them this was a bill against deadbeats. That's what they say. Well, let me tell you a little story here, come from one of the real people that this involved. Real people. He says, I really need to say this. If you think it's simple, it's glaringly obvious, you'll never want even to be close to needing to file bankruptcy. Because let me tell you something, nobody wants to. There are consequences and a stigma. It's not a pleasant experience. I can't stress this enough. The majority of working to middle class people that file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy have no other choice. It's not simply a matter of, oh man, if I don't file, I'll have to sell my plasma TV. As either file or lose your home, lose your car, lose your wages due to garnishment, deal with endless lawsuits, then what? Try finding a place to rent when your bills are all in collection. Try finding new employment when your wages are being garnished. Try finding a way to work when you don't even have a vehicle and there isn't any public transportation you can use. Try finding a way to put food on the table, assuming your table hasn't been repossessed, when you're left with a fraction of your income and you don't qualify for any assistance since that's based on your actual income, not what you actually have. It goes on to say, we filed for Chapter 7 in 2002. Note the year. It's not a coincidence. A well-timed layoff coupled with unavoidable medical bills can sink anyone who lives paycheck to paycheck, and let's face it, most of us do. You can only juggle so long before the late fees, interest, and ultimately are put you over the limit fees, get you into a position where there is no other choice. Trust me, we tried our damnedest to juggle and do the dance, but eventually it all crashes down. People don't file for bankruptcy because they determine it'll take decades to pay off their debt at the rate they're going with making the minimum payments. They file because they're getting ready to get sued and lose everything. When you make $50,000 a year and you can't afford to buy your children a cheap pair of school shoes, it's gotten to the point of hopelessness. I'm not ashamed of our bankruptcy. It was the best thing we ever did. My 6-foot-tall husband went from 200 pounds to 140 pounds in a matter of few months. I was having a debilitating anxiety attacks. We not only had to do what was best for us, but for our children. Most of these people that file are good, hardworking people that just want to do what is best for their family. Should errors in judgment coupled with circumstances you cannot control ruin your life and your children's lives? Goes on to say, I'm sorry, I just had to rant. I'm sick and tired of this holier-than-thou attitude that thinks something like this could never happen to them. Let me tell you, it can. You'd be surprised how fast it can happen when you're forced to take a 40% pay cut. I cried myself to sleep every night for 2 years. I can't even explain the shame you feel when you can't afford a $10 fee for a school field trip for your child. Seems almost unthinkable to most people, I'm sure. Always did to me. But most people are teetering much closer to the edge than they realize. I got a lot of letters like that this week. And I know you've heard from a lot of people like that. People like that all over the country. This ridiculous bankruptcy bill is a black cloud over the Democratic Party because 73 so-called Democrats voted to help out the credit card companies. And I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't abuses. I said that right off tonight. There are abuses. But it is such a tiny fraction of the bankruptcies that it barely registers on the scale. And yet these blood-sucking credit card companies You know, we had several senators that voted to close the cloister on this and put it up to a vote. Mr. Joe Biden was one. Joe Lieberman was another. Mary Landrieu was another. Trying to think who else was on that list of shame of Democrats. So, what I said earlier in this little episode here about choosing the right candidates becomes more important than ever. We can no longer afford to choose candidates that have that kind of thinking in their hearts. We have to have real Democrats. We have to have people with compassion and love for their fellow man, not cold-hearted people that will sell their souls to the nearest credit card company in their district or in their state. We cannot afford to have these 73 people in the Democratic Party. And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh to some people. I know it does. They say, well, you know, how can we take control of the House or how can we take control of the Senate if we work against some of these Democrats? I'm sorry. First, we have a party that is morally upstanding. First, we must have a party that is righteous and does the right thing for the average Joe in this country. If we don't have our people standing for that, if we don't have all of our members standing for that, we don't have a viable party. We will never have a viable party. We will never have a party that I am completely proud of until we have people in there working for the welfare and justice for all the people in this country, not just the rich ones. If you want to be in a party where you've got people that'll vote every vote for their own billfolds and their rich friends, you go ahead and go register Republican next week. But I'm a Democrat, damn it. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sell my soul. And I expect my elected leaders not to do it either. But 73 of them did it this week. And I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of every single one of them. And you should be too. It sickened me this week to look at that list. And look at that list of senators that went along with it. It just sickened me as a Democrat. My whole life, I've learned that the Democratic Party stood just for the opposite of what these people voted for this week. The exact opposite. This makes me weep for this party. So, don't want to be on a downer here, but we've got to do a better job. Just getting involved at election time anymore isn't going to do it. The minute you hear someone's running for office, start checking them out. If they've been a politician before, check out their record. Check out every bit of it. See if they've ever made a vote like this before. I live in Florida, where there are a lot of politicians that ride the fence. They know they got to have the Republican votes too, so they'll cross over and vote Republican now and then and vote Democrat. I think that's shameful. Am I a party purist and loyalist? You betcha. The founding principles of this party are either right or they're wrong. I know they're right. And voting on the other side of it is wrong. Always. In every single case. Especially to this group of Republicans we have in office right now. Well, I've said the word shameful several times here. And that's what I think about it. What do you think about it? I'd like to know what you think about that subject. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here in Lee County, Florida, Fort Myers, and in Collier County. 263-6570. I'm so upset I couldn't even remember the phone number for the folks down in Collier County. So give us a call. Right now we're going to pause for a break. Get on that phone, and we'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
So, you want a new flat panel TV, or maybe even a whole new entertainment system. You think you're ready to buy, but head into one of those all-in-one home electronics stores, and you could take a wrong turn at the refrigerators, get sidetracked by a blender demonstration, and end up leaving with the hottest new karaoke machine on the market. When it comes to buying a television, you need experts and a place where you can hear yourself think. Sound Advice is the last word in TVs and everything that goes with them. They'll make sense of everything you've heard and even let you in on a few things you didn't know you didn't know. Right now, get the latest 42-inch Panasonic plasma for $24.99. That's right, a Panasonic, a top name for a low price. And get this, if you come in by Sunday, you can take it home with no money down and no interest for 18 months. So leave the noise and distractions to the other guys. When you're serious about getting the best in home and mobile entertainment, Sound Advice has got it. Get it? Good. Sound Advice. They can untangle your mind.
It's spring at Colonial Suzuki. And why are we going crazy? Because did you know the number one seller in Japan's mini car market is Suzuki? That American Suzuki sales are up 28%? And that Colonial Suzuki is the largest in Florida. With it right now, you can get into a brand new Suzuki for under 10 grand.
Hey, buy now, $99.99.
We've got hundreds of new Suzukis, all backed by the 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty that's fully transferable.
Suzuki Mania.
Yes. Reno or Forenza SMG, just $99.99. Or even full-size XL7 sport utility vehicles now, just $17,699.
Crazy, crazy prices!
Reno or Forenza SMG, now, $99.99. The lowest prices in Florida, now during Suzuki Mania.
Hey, make the small move!
So now you know, you gotta go to Colonial Suzuki. One block east.
Hey, guy. John wants to respond to what you said during your opening, and this guy Michael in Cape Coral, he says that you know what Thinkers Anonymous is. So,
sight would be terrifying, but sadly more than 6 million Americans are losing their vision to blinding inherited diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. These diseases make it impossible to drive, read, or even see the faces of loved ones. Everything in life becomes a challenge, but there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research on macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and Usher syndrome, or to find out how you can help, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, driving research to save and restore sight.
Attention, parents of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
Parents, do you love your kids?
Yes!
Would you do anything for them?
Well,
if they were important to their health and well-being?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Then make sure to have your child's eyes examined by an optometrist at least every 2 years. And why?
Because we love our kids.
Because you love your kids.
Looking like a pop star has never been easier. You won't believe your eyes when we grant the makeover wish of a lifetime. You'll witness dramatic body contouring procedures. Premiering the ultimate reality show.
Entertainment, perhaps. Reality, no. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons is concerned for your safety. Plastic surgery is real surgery with great benefits, but also carries some risks. Be realistic, be informed, choose a surgeon certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
For more information, go to plasticsurgery.org or call 1-888-4-PLASTIC.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, we're back, and we're talking about the bankruptcy bill, and a little earlier, forgive me if I couldn't remember all 14 Democratic senators who voted yay to cut off the debate on the bankruptcy bill and make it impossible to filibuster it, but let me give you that little list of shame in the Senate, too. Joe Biden from Delaware, sad to say, Robert Byrd from West Virginia, Carpenter from Delaware, of course, both senators from Delaware were... what's that big credit card company from there? Kent Conrad from North Dakota, Johnson from South Dakota, Cole from Wisconsin, Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, Lincoln from Arkansas, Bill Nelson from Florida. Thank you, Bill. Nelson from Nebraska, Pryor from Arkansas, Salazar from Colorado, and Stabenow from Michigan. That is the list of shame. hear about that, but I don't care. That bill was wrong. They even tried to get the Democrats that didn't vote that way tried to put some amendments in which would soften the blow, including some measures which would have given extra bankruptcy protection to victims of identity theft. Imagine that. Did they make an exception for that? Someone was a victim, a pure victim of identity theft, and to military personnel returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, my God. What kind of a person couldn't give an exemption on that to some of our military personnel returning from Iraq and Afghanistan? Please tell me, what kind of a person would do that? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how they could. They've been bought off. Worried about their own re-election. That's how. I want to talk to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Great.
I think you're right on. What's bothering me is not only the bankruptcy bill, but the entire picture of what's happening with the Democrats in Congress. They're not an opposition party. They're all trying to work with the Republicans. All I hear is bipartisanship. And frankly, I don't understand it, because I don't need a vote for a party that's going to be, quote-unquote, bipartisan to work against our interests.
You know, the people that opposed Attila the Hun, you know, they opposed him. They didn't try and ameliorate the situation and get along with him. If he was wrong, he was wrong.
I mean, and the question is, those of us who consider us, by the way, in agreement with you, and I do. I mean, I wish I could say, gee, Guy, I think you're wrong on this and this and this and this. My question to you is, where do we go? How do we get there? I mean, if we vote for our party people, it doesn't seem to work. So where do we go with this?
We're just going to have to check them out better. We're just going to have to do a better job.
I think we need to change the direction of the party. I think people have to be vocal and say, we want an opposition up there. You know, even in England, they have a loyal opposition. And that, you know, and the stronger the opposition is, that's how you begin to mount a platform and get people out, not by working with them.
Well, and John, you're right. And here again, we always talk about the role of the media in this. What does the media say? Obstructionist, obstructionist, obstructionist. And so these weenies that vote the other way, they hear that and, you know, oh, I better go along.
Well, I'll tell you something. If something is wrong, I will obstruct it. You know, it reminds me of you had a call, and I didn't want to call back a second time last week. But you had a caller last week towards the end of your show who was fascinating. He wanted to run on the basis of taking away school lunches.
Yeah.
And I was listening to him. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of a candidate would run and how many people would look at that the thing to do is to take the lunches out of kids' mouths?
But, John, those kids are out of the womb.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to go all the way, Guy, and, you know, it's the same as your bankruptcy thing, so I'm going to put a connection with this thing. Let's stop educating kids. We can save a load of money, close the schools. Let's go back to old-fashioned child labor, and let's use the kids as slaves.
Yeah, let's go back to the days when only the rich kids got to go to school and everybody else was illiterate.
And keep them in the fields, or keep them in the factories, or keep them cleaning. Use them as slaves. Get the whips out. Let's whip them to death so they're going to be subservient. You know, I think if we ran on that, that would be the basis of it. And if the parents go bankrupt, well, take it out on the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't feed them, for gosh sakes.
No, I wouldn't want to feed the kids.
No. I mean, as your last that caller said, oh, let's do away with school lunches.
Yeah.
Don't feed the kids.
Right.
I mean, I thought that was an amazing call.
I did, too.
And I think you were far too patient with them, to be frank with you.
Well, I was.
Because, you know, I'm thinking of who would run for office as that, as a platform. And even some of these hard-hearted Republicans, how many of them would go along with that?
Well, John, they wouldn't run on that, but you know when it came down to it, on the vote, they would vote for it.
Oh, gosh. I mean...
They would vote for it.
Well, you know something? Then let's look at it all the way. Let's bring back, as I said, close the schools down. You know, people don't want to pay increase. You know, we're talking about an increased sales tax in Lee County because we need more schools. Well, let's do away with all school taxes.
Yeah, I only got a couple of kids. Why should I pay for education for the rest of them?
Yeah, I mean, if we close the schools down, how much more money can we put in our pockets?
I don't care, as long as my kid gets something to eat. Those other little critters in the class, they can go hungry. I don't care.
And put them to work.
Yeah.
Let's put them to work. They can make the roads. They can work in whatever fields. Instead of getting those Mexicans in, we send the kids out to the fields, have them pick whatever tomatoes are out there.
Hey, they do it in China. Why not?
You know, I think that we're running on the wrong platform here. You know, this is what I'm hearing. I mean, I think this is the direction that, you know, it sounds like we want to go to. And then if people are in bankruptcy, we'll make them slaves.
Sure. And my question is, and I haven't been able to find this out all week long, and I don't know why. Maybe you know the answer to this, John.
I'm not as smart as you are.
What happens? Oh, come on. What happens now if you go, if you file bankruptcy and they take you into this, what is it, 7 or 13? I forget the numbers. But the judge orders you to go ahead and start paying back. And you got to go to this credit counseling that you got to pay for, and you got to the judge sets up a schedule. What happens if you don't keep it? Are you in contempt of court?
Well, we established, you know, we reestablished something we did away with a few years ago. It's called debtor's prison. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So we put people in jail and prison if they can't pay.
So it wouldn't
be contempt? And maybe, you know, so the way they have the labor gangs in states like Georgia and Louisiana.
Yeah.
We put people to work in the fields and the roads.
Ah, yes. Well...
You know, that's the ultimate way of going, and that is the thinking.
I think you're right. I think it is.
I mean, we're changing the nature of society. You know, go back to the old-fashioned world of Charles Dickens.
John, we're on the same page. That's just exactly what I was thinking.
Well,
I couldn't think of the kid's name.
You know, Oliver Twist?
Yeah. I couldn't think of it.
But that's where we're going to.
You bet.
I mean, that's the philosophy that we have. And by the way, your credit cards companies, I mean, I just want to bring out something. They charge what could used to be considered usury. Remember that old-fashioned word?
Absolutely.
Usury interest.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're supporting that. And by the way, if I can relate it to something else that I brought up, Guy, think about what's happening now with the increasing gas prices where people can't even afford to go to work because of the price of gas, which is making all these oil barons like, you know, people with Halliburton, Bechtel, Harkin, I don't know who those people are, their last names, Bush, Cheney, and those people, they're all getting rich. As people have to pay the gas prices that keep going up.
Well, the squeeze is on, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
Well, it all relates to this, because you're paying the gas prices, you can't afford anything else, and that also helps bring the bankruptcy along. You know, I'm trying to bring this back to your original discussion, because I think it all goes hand in hand.
It does.
And if our people up there are not a real opposition group to what's going on, the rest of us are just going to fall by the wayside. And you're about the only light that I see out there, because, you know, who is talking about this? You know what bothered me? I even heard Hillary Clinton, who's supposed to be the shining light in the Democratic Party, talk about, oh, we have to be nonpartisan and work with these people.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go to work with the devil. No day.
You know, I think the word is out. I don't know if I'm a Democrat or proud of it right this minute, as the motto is. But we've got to have a real opposition party that says what we're doing is wrong. This is not the type of society that we wanted for this country. And this is not what our Constitution is all about. And I don't know if it's liberal or conservative, but even go back to the Constitution. You know, which protects people, because these people want to do away with our constitutional rights when they want to do away with the courts. Your friend Tom DeLay.
Yeah. Well, we're going to mention him a time or two.
You know, I'm just throwing these things in because it's all part of this picture. Do away with people's rights, the right to fight this in the courts, the right to have bankruptcy protection, to have courts impose their rules on you that you have to believe in, whatever they want you to believe in. What kind of a society is we moving to in this country?
And guess whose judges they want to be in there?
You know, I call this conservatism, my word for it, and I'll close on this thought. It is not conservatism versus liberalism. It is fascism.
Absolutely.
And I think we have to label it, and it's not just putting a name, because this is the philosophy that is being put on. It is no different than what happened in fascist Italy or Nazi Germany. I hate to be that extreme, but I see it happening.
I agree. I totally agree.
Thank you for the time, and I think you're right on target. The only question is, where do we go with it?
Thank you, John.
Take care.
You know, you stop and think about it. Think about the... Now, the warning signs, just like John said, the early warning signs of fascism when it gets promoted to the extreme. Yeah, you get the extreme nationalism. You get a total disdain for human rights. You start identifying enemies within your own country, making them scapegoats for some sort of a unifying cause. You glorify the supremacy of the military. You have rampant sexism, and don't think that isn't taking place in this evangelical movement that's going on right now running the Bush White House. Controlling the mass media, that's always a good one. You got an obsession with national security, religion and government intertwined, corporate power being protected to the nth degree, labor power suppressed, always in a fascist society. You get a disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Think about that. How many times on the radio have you heard people talking about the elitist educational places here in this country? How about our university and colleges are runaway, wild, liberal, commie havens? Listen to that. You've heard that. You know, you got cronyism and corruption and fraudulent elections. Those are all early warning signs of fascism. And if we don't heed that, we'll end up in trouble. Let's go and talk to Mike in Cape Coral, Florida. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guy. How are you?
Good.
I got to thank you again. I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
I said I got to thank you again. I'm sorry. It's hard to think anymore after listening to John. He's so on target.
Yes, he is.
Yes. You got my email about thinking. Remember that?
Yes, I did, John. Mike, yeah, I sure did.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners about it. I didn't bring that email with me.
Well, I just got to thinking of to the fact that I lost my job, lost my family, because I was thinking so much. Then I became thinking so much that I decided thinking was ruining my life. So eventually, thinking got me into the position where I had to finally join the Republican Party.
Yes.
But I think, Guy, what we need is we got to get some more diehard Democrats.
Well, we got to get some...
More Harry Trumans.
Where's Paul Wellstone's, or the Paul Wellstone influence when we need it? Where's a man that'll stick to his principles no matter what?
That's right. They're not there.
No.
And, they're wimps.
Yeah.
You're right. You got the list of wimps tonight.
Yeah. Yep.
And I have to say... I'm thinking of running for governor, but I also have decided I will back Ron Smith.
Ah. Yeah, it would be a good choice.
Yes.
It would be a good choice. I thought so in the last time around. I thought he should have given it a better go. He didn't have the money.
No. But I've got my paper ready to file for a writing candidate. Yeah.
Well, there's no question about this, and I don't know if my listeners know this about you or not, but you would be the most intelligent guy to run for governor if you did. Of that much I do know.
Well, Steve Sherman tried to talk me out of it.
You tell Steve to forget it. We're going to tell him to get on the bandwagon or else.
Well, I'll talk to you on Monday. I'll be there.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael.
I'll see you Monday.
Yes, right. We'll be there and looking forward to it.
Yes, I've already got my... shirt laid out.
All right.
Dean Democrat shirt.
All right. See you then.
Okay, bye.
Boy, that's going to be quite a dinner. 500 whooping and hollering Democrats, I'm telling you. Maybe a couple that aren't, but about 498 of them will be. I know one that isn't, but other than that, that's a little inside joke right there. Going to go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Hi. It sounded like someone was jamming on you.
Oh, yeah. I heard that little thing there.
Yeah, it only happens on your show. Isn't that odd?
Mm.
No, I was calling this week. You're right on target. And, John, you got my vote, buddy. I always admire everything he says.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to say, though, about Tom DeLay. This guy, why doesn't he just back out like a gentleman? What is this creep doing? How can people in this country stand and even let that guy be on our media? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Much less sitting in the seat of power that he's got. This guy should have been gone. He should never have gotten there to begin with. And, well, neither should George Bush. They're talking right now about being good Christians. How can this guy stand before God and tell the Lord himself that he's a Christian? What in the world is Christian about him?
What is Christian about
George Bush?
They must have read a different good book than I did.
I'm so sick of hearing people say George Bush is a Christian. He's not a Christian. If he was a Christian, he would walk it and talk it. He does neither. You don't go across the pond and start killing other people just so that you can get a dollar. And if that is still what it's about, it's not about oil people. It's not about oil. No, that's secondhand there. What it's about is Halliburton. It's about big contracts that have been so corrupt, and yet our media still is not covering it. It is about their profits that they're making off of this, and yet no one is bothered to ask that they publish what their stocks have made for them since that war started. No one has asked how much they've made off of their stock shares in Raytheon, Lockheed, Boeing, Halliburton. You know, give me a break, people. You're all stupid out there. I'm so sick of hearing stupid people.
Well,
and they act like they're rich wannabes. Someday I'll be rich like them. You people are fools. You're fools. Try to buy one stock of Raytheon. You won't do it. But yet you've got our guys killing and being killed over what? A stock that they'll never be allowed to buy. They're good enough to die for it for some rich ass, but they're not good enough to buy it themselves. Where in the world is, I mean, one child's blood over there, and they're sitting there calling themselves Christians? These are people. They're not statistics. They're people.
That's
these
right.
People live like we do. They want to live, and they have families. They have lives. And are they free? Hell no, they're ready to go into a civil war. And not only that, we already had them dead. We had them dead from all the radiation we put on them back when we were bombing them for years. You know, and then we go in and put the final knife into them. And then we sit and say, gee, these people are weird. Excuse me, but we're taking our ways. We're killing our children. Another girl here in Florida, raped and killed. But yet we want to take our views and our ways of life over to other people. I think we better get it straight in our own country first.
Yeah, start at home. Hey, thanks for calling, Diane.
All right, guys.
Good to hear from
you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hello, guys.
How are you, friend?
Real good. I heard a commercial on the radio that reminded me of our president this week. It said, whether it's fair or not, you are judged by your vocabulary. And you could even be the president of the United States and people still think you're a moron. You could do a decent bit out of that. I see that Tom DeLay will be on the Meet the Press this Sunday, so his day of doom is getting closer and closer. He's become the soup Nazi of the Republican Party, and it won't be long now. They're going to turn to him and say, no soup for you, Bugman. That's what's going to happen to him.
No soup for you.
On the serious side, did you know that Eleanor Cliff lost her husband in the last couple of weeks?
No, I didn't. I just saw her on TV this afternoon, I believe.
Noticed she was dressed all in black, and they mentioned it last week on the on that show that we both watch every week. And but she did just lose her husband, and she's a great voice of that level.
Oh, she is. I didn't know that.
I want to say something about John Fund. And he's the guy that works for the Wall Street Journal that comes on TV and is a big conservative. And he is the ghostwriter for Rush Limbaugh. He wrote both of Rush Limbaugh's books. And if there's a college professor out there that would like to teach a class on how a book could be wrong about everything, read Rush Limbaugh's book about See, I Told You So, predicting what was going to happen to Bill Clinton and his administration, which that's why Limbaugh doesn't talk about it too much, because how could anybody be that wrong about so many things?
Oh, yeah.
But the thing about John Fund, who is, don't underestimate him, he's very, very intelligent. And he came out about a month ago with a statement that he had proof that FDR originally had Social Security, was planned to be privatized. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh got all over that, and he keeps saying it even now. But Al Franken got John Fund on Al Franken's show, and Al Franken can play the fool, but he's nobody's fool. And he finally got John Fund to admit that FDR never said any such thing. And even though he had to say that he made a mistake, and people that work for the Wall Street Journal and the newspaper don't make those kind of mistakes, he told a fib. And it doesn't matter, because Rush Limbaugh's still saying the same thing about FDR. And then a caller called in this week, because there's going to be a big FDR special on Sunday night, and asked Rush Limbaugh if they were going to talk about that privatization of Social Security. Oh, and there was a long pause, and Limbaugh says, "That's a silly question. Don't ask me what they're going to do. It's in the can. Whatever they're going to talk about, they're going to talk about." So you ditto heads out there, I want you to watch that show Sunday night and see what they say about privatization of Social Security that Limbaugh claims is the gospel, because it just never happened.
Well, and you know, we talked to his grandson here a while back, and DNC, he said it's preposterous.
Oh, well, I think what it boiled down to was, before Social Security, there were things for the older people. There was the poor farm, and there was all different kind of programs, and FDR made some remark that they would just let those programs grandfather themselves out. And then John Fund twisted that around to sound like it was privatization, but it's definitely a lie. And you ditto heads, pay attention, because you better check on that. Going back to the bankruptcy, are you aware that there were no changes made in the bankruptcy laws for corporations?
That's right.
And the conservatives had the nerve to call the Democrats class warriors. But look what they do. They changed the rule on the working poor and the lower middle class, and left people like Donald Trump. He's done it, and he can do it again. So even if the credit card companies get in trouble, they don't have to worry about being judged by the way they judge us, because their laws haven't been changed.
That's right. That's right. They didn't touch anything on that bankruptcy law to hurt any of the fat cats.
And one other thing, Guy, and you shouldn't even have to do this, but sometime tonight, I want you to say something about progressive income tax, because I know it's the right thing to do, and you do, and we've had it all these years, but it's under tremendous attack. How can somebody who's been successful, you know, live a better life, drive a better car, have better medical coverage, go on trips, and not mind paying more, but when he comes to the government, he's a good conservative Christian, and the government is evil, and he doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to pay his government, and without that government to keep society in order, he wouldn't have all that money. So please, I shouldn't even have to ask you, but talk about the progressive income tax and why it is a good thing.
Absolutely. It's a great thing. And, you know, it's like with the Social Security thing right now. If they would go ahead and raise that $90,000 cap,
right,
and make it... It would make the payroll tax more progressive to help pay for Social Security, but I don't think they're going to touch that.
I don't think that's going to happen, Guy.
No.
And thanks so much for being on the air, and thank you now.
Thanks for calling. Well, what a revolting development this is. Who was a comedian who used to say that? I don't know. I can't remember. But that bankruptcy bill this week, it's... I keep hearing this annoying little hum. Do you hear that, Ron? You need to hear that. There's this annoying little squeal going through here, and don't know what it is for sure. In their infinite wisdom, Congress passed this bill to To hurt the dishonest credit card holders. That's what they said. They passed this bill to hurt the dishonest credit card holders. You know, those who take advantage of bankruptcy laws. The problem is, and I hope you'll take the time to look this thing over, the problem is that the number of those who are honest and didn't abuse the system, but rather just fell into a bad set of circumstances like medical bills and divorce and layoffs and job losses and so forth, those people outnumber the dishonest ones by a huge margin. Huge margin. So once again, who did this bill hurt? You know, it hurt those who need the protection of bankruptcy the most, those who had nowhere else to turn but to the courts for the bankruptcy protection. You know, those legislators who say they voted for this bill to protect those of us who haven't needed bankruptcy protection from higher costs from their credit card customers are just plain lying. That's all there is to it. They're just plain lying. Well, they're either lying or they're completely ignorant of the facts, and frankly, neither of those choices are acceptable to those of us who hold our public servants accountable for their actions anyway. But there's less and less accountability from us, and that's just what I wanted to stress once again. I don't know if you do that. All of you listening who are with me on this, please make your wishes known. Please make your objections to this bill known to your representatives. Make it known to all of them. There's no reason why Democrats didn't flood these 14 senators with mail about this. There's no reason why you didn't flood their offices with phone calls. There's no reason why Davis from Florida wasn't flooded with telephone calls and email and all that. Tell them how objectionable this whole thing is. You know, they hear from enough constituents, sooner or later it has to sink in, and they got to be looking over their shoulder saying, well, maybe I shouldn't just be out to ride the fence. Maybe I shouldn't just be out to try and satisfy both sides. Maybe I shouldn't be out to take as much money as I can get from the credit card companies and the financial institutions so I can save my ass and get myself reelected. Because after all, reelected is all I'm interested in. You know, if enough of us call, if enough of us write, if enough of us just give it to them over this, and it's not too late. Yeah, that bill's passed, but it's not too late for Democrats to let their displeasure over this to be known. Get angry. Call them. Write them. Get a hold of them. Let them know that we're not going to put up with this anymore. You know, the Republicans can do what they want, and they will do what they want, and we're going to have to put up with it for now. But as Democrats, we do not have to put up with this sort of thing within our party. So, you know, I happen to know somebody up in Vermont said I think it was Lincoln Chafee. Yeah, I think it was Lincoln Chafee said that his mail was, and phone calls were running like 99 to 1. Against voting for that. So, I don't know. It's something that's going to be on the conscience of conscience. conscience and those 73 people that voted for that's an oxymoron. They're trying to put those two together. That doesn't work. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have tried that. I just shouldn't have tried it. You can't have a conscience as a Democrat and have voted for that bankruptcy bill. Plain and simple. If you don't agree with me, let me know. Want to hear from you. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Don't know where that first hour went already, but we are going to pause for the news. You're listening to WINK WNOG 1240 1278 AM, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the news. Don't go anywhere.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. WINK Fort Myers, WNOG Naples, AM 1240 and 1270. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. WINK WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju.
We have tentatively identified the
Body found earlier today as that of hers.
Florida police matching a description of a body found to that of 13-year-old Sarah Lundy. The remains were discovered in a man-made fish pond.
Investigators are paying very close attention right now to David Onstad. He is the convicted sex offender being held right now on unrelated charges.
Fox's Julie Banderas. Should DeLay stay? Colorado Republican Tom Tancredo calling for House Majority Leader Tom DeLay to step down.
Tancredo is the second House Republican to urge DeLay to leave his leadership job.
Fox's Julie Kirsch in Washington on the background behind DeLay's dilemma.
A Texas Republican has come under fire over questions about his overseas travel, campaign fundraising, and past relationships with lobbyists. He denies he did anything wrong and remains defiant.
DeLay is speaking tonight before the NRA. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Kid Brown, president of Brown and Hawk Financial Group, hosts a talk show all about money on Wink WNOG every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. There you can find us. The free financial physical will review your goals, needs, and objectives. Call in each Saturday morning at 10 and have your investment questions answered. All about money and investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hawk Financial Group. Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270, Wink WNOG.
I'm a little upset.
Why? Are the in-laws in town?
No, everybody wants me to spend money. Buy now, pay later, buy two, get one free. I want to save money, not spend it.
Now how about this? Call Breeze Mortgage.
What can you do for me?
We've got the best rates, refinancing home purchases. We'll cut your payments virtually in half with our new interest-only loan.
Let me guess, refi now, pay later, right?
No, save now, call now at 239-598-1881 and listen to the Breeze Mortgage program every Saturday at noon.
I'll call Breeze Mortgage, a great loan for my great home.
So, you want a new flat panel TV, or maybe even a whole new entertainment system. You think you're ready to buy, but head into one of those all-in-one home electronics stores, and you could take a wrong turn at the refrigerators, get sidetracked by a blender demonstration, and end up leaving with the hottest new karaoke machine on the market. When it comes to buying a television, you need experts, and a place where you can hear yourself think. Sound advice is the last word in TVs and everything that goes with them. They'll make sense of everything you've heard and even let you in on a few things you didn't know you didn't know. Right now, get the latest 42-inch Panasonic plasma for $24.99. That's right, a Panasonic, a top name for a low price. And get this, if you come in by Sunday, you can take it home with no money down and no interest for 18 months. So leave the noise and distractions to the other guys. When you're serious about getting the best in home and mobile entertainment, Sound Advice has got it. Get it? Good. Sound Advice. They can untangle your mind.
Homeownership is a dream come true for most people. Finding someone you trust to help you with the right mortgage is extremely important. Amy Klausner of SunTrust Mortgage is always looking for ways to say yes to you. Amy has over 16 years mortgage and banking experience and is the number one loan officer for SunTrust Bank, the number one mortgage lender in Southwest Florida. Amy can provide loans from $50,000 to $5 million to help you make a home purchase, refinance your existing home, purchase a second home, investment properties, provide alternative credit, and more. Due to her local processing, underwriting, and closing departments being at a local level, Amy can offer quick one-hour approval loan applications and rapid closings. Call Amy at 239-403-2703 or toll-free at 1-866-763-0594, extension 2703. Or receive an online mortgage application by emailing her at amy.klausner@suntrust.com. Catering to your needs, Amy Klausner with SunTrust Mortgage. Amy always gets the job done.
The truth. Guy James.
back with you for the second hour of the Guy James Show, and we hope you'll give us a call this evening. This is a talk show, you know. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7540. That's a toll-free number for all you folks all over the world. And also 479-5540 here in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. Just ran across this brief piece of news. I know a lot of you have probably seen it. I want to give our congratulations to our good friends Walmart, being the exemplary company that they are, the compassionate company that looks out for their employees so very well. I don't know how many of you saw this, but they're going to close their store up in Quebec, Canada, after the people voted to unionize the store. Mm-hmm. You know, this comes out of the Washington Post, the retailing behemoth whose $10 billion annual profits are based on low prices, low expenses, and its relentless pace of store openings announced it will shut the doors here, that's in Quebec, after workers voted to make this first unionized Walmart in North America. It's going to leave 190 people out of work. You know, they say it serves as a warning for workers at other Walmart stores who might contemplate defying founder Sam Williams' sharp distaste for unions. They got 3,600 stores in the United States. The closest unionized call in the United States came in Texas in 2000 when the store eliminated its meat department after 11 meat cutters voted to join a union. And right now in Canada, you know, I ran across a statistic here that is just, I don't think this can be true. And maybe it's not. It came out of the Washington Post, and I've tried to substantiate this, and I haven't had any luck. Walmart stores, since entering the country of Canada 11 years ago, by buying the failing Woolco chain, now takes 52% of the retail market share in Canada. Can that be the truth? 52% of the retail market share in Canada? Oh, and it's opening about 30 stores a year. And a little known secret, it earns three times as much revenue per square foot of store space as Zellers Incorporated, its nearest competitor. Yeah, they didn't want those people joining a union. They didn't want those folks to have any. Up there, their pay starts at about $6.20 an hour U.S., really big bucks they're giving them there. You know, what Walmart does, and I'll get back to their calls here in just one second. They've got a great way of putting the squeeze on people. They put the squeeze on their employees. They put the squeeze on the middlemen. They put the squeeze on all of their suppliers and their manufacturers. And what they do, and let me see if I can explain this right, not being the Albert Einstein here, but what they're successful in doing is if you got a product that sells for $10 in your store and you pay $5 for it from your supplier, Walmart will go to this supplier and buy it for $3.50 or whatever they want to buy it for because they've got that kind of clout. They allow the manufacturer just enough profit to stay in business so that they can feed the habit of Walmart, if you will. It's kind of like a drug habit thing. So they'll buy it for $3.50 and sell it for $8 or $9 and make more off of it than you do by buying it and actually bought it for less. So they give it a cheaper price. It's an amazing thing they do. I don't know if you've ever been affiliated with Walmart, done any business with them. I have. I won't walk into one of them anymore, but they're a nasty bunch. And it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to suppress their workers and keep the union out of all of them here in the United States. So far, they've been successful. They are so big, so powerful, that the government certainly won't do anything. We saw recently the fine they got over this illegal alien thing that worked at the store. They got an itty-bitty little fine that wouldn't amount to anything to you and I. But anyway, we're going to go to... where are we going to go? Got an interesting thing up on the screen here. It says something about a $5,000 fine stats for... Peter in Tallahassee, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy, how are you doing?
Good.
Love your show, man.
Thank you.
You know, I've been trying to follow this thing about Secretary of State Glenda Hood. God, I hate to spit her name out. the thing is you know, she's introduced a bill or is backing a bill or in any case it's a rewrite of the state law that the Secretary of State has the power to make decisions that affect our ability to register and our ability to vote. Not the supervisor of elections that we put in office to do that job, but it's Hood, who is appointed by the governor and doesn't answer to any of the electorate. Now, she's further saying that if an election supervisor, a county supervisor doesn't, you know, jump to her tune, doesn't do exactly what they are personally, not the county, mind you, but out of the election supervisor's own pocket could be levied a $5,000 fine. Now, example of one of the things she pulled, it happened in the 2004 election. There were thousands of us who, Floridians, who were registered to vote, but we were disqualified because we failed to check a box that acknowledged our citizenship. But we had to sign an oath that stated we're a U.S. citizen, and Hood said the voters had to check the box and sign the oath to be eligible, and many were denied the right to vote because of that, but there are also a large number of county supervisors, election supervisors, that disagreed, saying that the signing the oath alone was legally sufficient. In other words, she wants to be able to parse any of the rules to favor the Republican Party and back it up with a $5,000 fine. Now, I have tried to follow this in the news, but at this point in time, I haven't been able to determine whether it's actually passed or if it's still pending. Do you happen to know what the latest status on the latest undermining of our right to vote?
I do not know the current status. I remember the whole deal over that, how she wanted it both ways, and you know, it's funny how she wanted every I dotted and T crossed.
Absolutely.
For twice,
and the so-called felons list too. There were like up here in Tallahassee, Sancho was questioning the validity of that felons list, and I think to some degree the election supervisors had the ability to either go with it or not go with it. But I think you probably know, at least the last I heard, they're still using the same felon list they were using in 2000. They haven't changed a bit of it.
Right. They claimed a hardship that they had to the Federal Election Office that they couldn't get it changed in time, so but promised they would sometime. I'd be interested to know if subsequent to Jeb Bush's telling the Federal Election Bureau that Florida was a hardship and couldn't get to it in time, I'd be interested to know subsequent to that if they've done anything on it, if they even picked it up.
Yes, sir. I of course doubt they have. And
no.
I just despise those people. And you know, look at the sheriff's department. Every county has its own sheriff's department. Now, is the sheriff threatened with a $5,000 fine out of his pocket if he does something wrong, or if he follows his own judgment, this is totally directed at our right to vote, and I resent it, and I am upset about it, you know, if anybody knows the latest on that, I'm just wondering if the darn thing passed.
Well, if any of our fellow Floridians know the answer to that, or even non-Floridians, let us know. Hey, thanks for your call, Peter.
I'd love to know. Thanks, Guy.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Bye.
Oh, yes. All kinds of... But this is Florida. Don't forget that. This is Florida. Don't ever, ever forget that this is Florida. Going to go to Mike out in San Jose, California. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
I'm calling once again from Democratic Underground, Bush Eats Beef, and I want to call about the caller that asked you to talk about the progressive tax sometime before the end of the show.
Yes.
The thing that concerns me is that on the 14th, the day before income tax day, if you go to the White House website and you see the Ask the White House section, Jon Snow is cheerleading the national sales tax again. Also, if you go to the National Retail Federation website and you go to their press release section, you'll see a press release dated the 14th, which if it doesn't scare the daylights out of every working American, I don't know what will. They're talking about stuff that I've been screaming about for for months and no one seems to listen, saying that it's not going to be a 30% tax. To abolish the IRS, you'd have to have like a 57% tax, and that's only if you tax every good and service. If you keep the exemptions for mortgages and health care, the tax would have to be higher. It says that, and this thing about getting a rebate every month, that's for people who make less than $18,000. It says right here, families with income between $18,000 and $100,000 a year who need to spend a large percentage of their income on necessities would face a large tax increase. So this baloney about promoting it as fairer and simpler and everything else, people will buy survival items, Guy. People will buy rice and beans and toilet paper and toothpaste and go in their home and close the door and be scared to death of spending anything on anything else, which means stores will close, jobs will be lost. The economy can't be floated by Bush's base out there buying Mercedes and Beamers and yachts. They can only buy so many. That won't keep the country alive.
Takes the masses.
So my request to you, Guy, is your show, obviously, between you and Bernie Ward on KGO, you are basically the two shows we got. Air America kind of is up and down. My request to you is, if this thing starts picking up heat, and if Jon Snow and these other people are successful, and this thing actually is on the table, and it's being discussed, I need you to scream from the rooftops on this one.
Well, we will. And you know, Mike, you bring up a great subject. We're planning on doing a whole show on this very, very soon. First of all, I got to get myself a little more educated than I am on the tax process. But, you know, Snow is no idiot. He knows what he's doing. He knows, everybody knows, that the estate tax, or the death tax, as they want to call it now, the estate tax and the progressive income tax are without question the most democratic and just taxes that this country's ever had. Plain and simple, and I don't know why anybody can't go along with this. I don't know why you wouldn't. The more a person enriches himself off the infrastructure of this country and our democratic social system here in America, the more he owes to the country and the more he owes to the society that helped him get rich. That's what progressive tax is all about. And why? What is it about that people don't understand? It's they don't want to accept it because of greed. It's just plain greed.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing, too, Guy, that we got to stop, I don't mean you and I mean, like, all of us, we got to stop thinking that there's right and wrong in this country. We got to stop thinking that George Bush cares about the average working American. We've got to stop thinking that sooner or later he's going to realize what he's doing and change his ways. We know who this man is. This man comes from money. This man basically got a draft deferment so he could go in the National Guard and then not show up while people were getting killed over in Vietnam. The man is a coward. The man is spoiled rotten. The man is arrogant. The man is in office because of Halliburton and all of the other companies that are propping him up. Every time he couldn't run a business to save his life, his daddy handed him business after business after business, and he ran them all into the ground. And what happened? He got handed another business.
The biggest one in the world. But you know, Mike, he's got that MBA in business administration.
Well, that helps.
Yes.
Guy. Take care.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Oh, yes. I'm your first he's going to be your first president ever with an MBA in business administration. And with Dick Cheney's connections the oil industry with, you know, why, we'll just be all set. That's what they were saying. You remember that? You remember that back during that campaign in 2000? He's, you know, the Dick Cheney, he's an energy expert. Oh, yeah, he's an energy expert. And the MBA in business, this is going to be the land of milk and honey forever. Well, I think on our present course, it is going to be the land of milk and honey for a very few for a while. But like Mike just said, they can't get by with just selling Mercedes and Rolls Royces to the rich people. Sooner or later, the other folks got to have some money to spend. And if they don't, why, the whole thing will fall down. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Well, I want to get to Karl Rove eventually. But, you know, we need people in our governments, state, local, and federal, who will uphold the Constitution and care about the country, not whether these Republicans are in there for is to gain power. I don't know what that means, because most of the decisions and the ideas they've had since Ronald Reagan have put this country in terrible shape. I heard a man the other day saying, well, the problem is the workers don't have any power. Well, no, the unions are gone. Is it that hard to figure out?
Yeah, I think it's down to, what, 12, or is it even 8? Maybe 12% of the population work for unions.
Yeah, and I tell my kids, I said, this is the way it was in 1905 and 1910 and 1920. And if you study history, it definitely is. And also in China, the way that country is developing, it is like it was in 1910 and 15 in this country. And those people are moving so far ahead of us, it is just unbelievable. You have to, and people don't want to hear it, and you can't hear it unless you listen to World Band Radio. Anyway, the president, it's very interesting, they came up with a deal where now you can't enter this country if you go to Mexico and Canada unless you have a passport to come back in.
Right.
Well, did you hear that the president is going to suspend that part of the act that he signed until he reads that legislation that he has already signed? Now, I don't know about you, but and in Michael Moore's film, we had one congressman, senator said, well, son, do you really think we read this legislation that comes before us before we vote on it?
Right. And I remember that, yeah.
They don't.
No.
And I think before this president signs anything, he's going to have to read these bills. And then maybe these 500-page pieces of legislation will stop. And if these senators and congressmen have to read it before they even pass it, but they're up there passing things like you said, that all these big corporations are writing this bankruptcy bill and all. Credit card companies wrote that legislation because they're sending out cards to people that they know can't pay. And so the president doesn't read it. The congressmen, they don't read it. They just all sign it, becomes law, and we get screwed again.
Oh, yeah. I don't think a lot of people understand that how that actually works. Yes, indeed, the lobbyists and the companies in this case, the credit card companies, did write that legislation. They take it up to their congressman or senator's office and give it to an aide who's in charge of such things, four offices back from the main office, and he looks it over, and he goes out and throws it on the desk and says, yeah, let's go for this.
Well, I'm sure you served on some boards. I've served on two nonprofit boards, and when it came, and you know, we do a form of legislation when we have a motion or a bill that we want to bring up, something's going to make the organization run better. I always made sure it was only one page. It was very clear and concise, and also had another page that said how you're going to execute this plan if it went through. And that's what our legislation in all our forms of government should be. One page. Not all these add-ons that they come up with, because I'm sure what the president's going to look at is an add-on that nobody knew and that the damn thing was even there. Now, you know, last week you had this one character call in and talk about Clinton, and it, you know, he lied under oath. And I keep hearing these screwballs say that he lied under oath, and I've been analyzing this now, and I realize that the sex act, it wasn't the sex act. It was that he lied under oath regarding a question that should have never been asked. And if you'll look at the president, they ask, you know, about your service in the National Guard. Well, we're not going to talk about that. And see, if Clinton would have said that, he might have got off a little better. But all these Republicans, he lied under oath. But hey, the sex act is okay. And Limbaugh could talk about it day after day after day and imply that because the president did this, it was going to corrupt our young people. In reality, Limbaugh talking about it every day corrupted our youth.
Well, I got to tell you the truth. I was listening to Limbaugh the other day when he talked about that, and as you know,
he's
probably
still talking about it.
Well, yeah, and as all he talked about it, I think it was on Wednesday Tuesday. I was on my way over to Miami, and I was listening to him on the way back, and he talked about that sex act, and he actually just out and out said what it was and called it by name. And then when he comes back, he says, well, I want to apologize to my listeners. I had a slip of the tongue there, and I didn't mean to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so if you want to turn me into the FCC, go ahead. So I did.
Good. Well, you see, and that's a great segue into Karl Rove.
Yeah.
I watched Frontline Report on Karl Rove Tuesday night, and I knew what this man was. I just had to see it because I enjoy seeing it and confirming my suspicions all over again. And he does this exact thing that Limbaugh did. Oh, I'm sorry I said it,
But, you know, once the cat's out of the bag, it's kind of hard to catch him.
Sure.
It? And all this stuff in the last campaign, Carl Rove made Mary Matlin and Carvel look like amateurs.
Sure, sure.
And what he does, if people don't know, his tactics are not to openly put somebody up to disrupting like these Swift Boat veterans. He talks to somebody who then goes to those people and puts them up to it. So, as the article said, his fingerprints are never on anything. But this man started his dirty tricks back, well, he was 14, the article said, and instead of having pictures of baseball and basketball stars on his wall, he had political figures. He wanted to get involved in politics when he was 12 and 14 years old, and his goal in his life was probably to get somebody he chose to be elected president. And, of course, it turns out it's Bush, who can't really read bills and know what he's signing. And it's terrible that our parties don't work and get, you know, I want to see the smoke-filled back room again. I want to see the Republicans, Democrats picking people who have worked their way up through their party in a responsible fashion. And then I think we're going to have some better government. But right now it's left up to the people to go to these stupid primaries and vote for somebody they're being sold. Rove did a marketing job, folks. And if you bought those goods, you bought bad goods.
Well, and I saw a stat the other day that mentioned, I think it was 93% of the time, the candidate with the most funding wins.
Yeah, well, now, speaking of stats, I heard our friend up in Tampa this morning, he was giving some numbers on these polls that they do of the Bush brothers. And, of course, we know the president's ratings are down, and I forget what Jeb's rating for performance was, but it was about 50%. And then they asked, would you like to see him run for president? 80% said no.
Really? 80%?
Yeah, and that leads me then to my definitions. I've written down every form of government that I could think of, and then I went to the dictionary to see exactly what the definition of those was. And when it comes to democracy, it's a government in which the people hold supreme power. Now, I can't imagine anybody who's a head of state anywhere in this world wanting that to happen. So when they talk about creating democracies, I wonder what in the hell they are talking about. Because we don't have a democracy here. When we pledge allegiance, we pledge it to a republic. This is a state governed by representatives elected by a body of citizens. I think that's what we've got, haven't we?
Yes.
So forget the democracy crap. And then, of course, I went to fascism and monarchies, and if this is brother would get elected, I think he could pretty well class it as a monarchy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, if Chris gets elected, it'll be a theocracy.
Right.
And with that, I thank you for a great show, and
hey,
glad to have you on.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Ah, yes. You know, somebody brought up to me last week. I got some email after the show. I had a couple of moments in last week's show, I guess, that I must have been angry. And I am pretty good at anger management. I don't get angry too often, but, you know, I didn't start throwing things here in the studio or pounding on the, well, maybe I'd pound on the table a little bit, but I didn't throw any monitors or anything like that. But I did get some email from a couple of you this week complaining that I'm a bit too harsh when describing people who lie. And actually, they did say a bit too harsh. They said a lot too harsh. They had no right to call people liars. They objected to me calling people liars. Evidently, that word bothers people, liars. You know, and I just wanted to take a moment and let you know that I'm aware of what you said, and I've considered it for a couple of days now. I really have. I've thought it through. And yeah, I've always been one to call a spade, no matter what the circumstances. You know, sometimes it's served me well, and a few times it's caused me some grief. But I think the grief was worth it because my sense of morality demands that I tell the truth. Now, while it might seem a little bit harsh to call someone a liar, it may seem to indicate a lack of civility on my part, but what I'm really want to do, you know, when it becomes painfully obvious that someone is trying to pull the wool over my eyes or the public's eyes to advance some agenda that I know is wrong, You know, do I use the word, what can we think of here? Bending the truth, prevarication, fibbing, white lies, and my favorite of all those words that the politicians love right now, disingenuous. Disingenuous. Should I soften the impact of their lies by calling them those names? Or should I let them know that this is absolutely not acceptable to lie to me or to the American public? And to be fair here, and we're always fair, when Bill Clinton stood before the American public and said, I did not have sex with that woman, I knew he was lying. Hell, everyone knew he was lying. And so you've never heard me say that Bill Clinton bent the truth or prevaricated or were disingenuous or any of those other worthless words. He lied. And I've always said that. Just don't expect anything different from me than what I am. I tell you the truth in this program each week, and you can take that to the bank. We're going to pause for a station ID, and I don't know what all they do during this. I'm not listening. So have yourselves a Coke or something during this time, and we'll be right back after these words.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG. Announcing a special event now through Sunday at the Miramar Outlet. Record-setting new vehicle sales in the first quarter left dealers overstocked with trades. 1,000 quality used vehicles from all over Florida have been moved to the Miramar Outlet just east of I-75 for immediate sale. Now through Sunday. Prices start under $3,000. 0% financing is available. Make a deal by Sunday at the Miramar Outlet. We'll pay off your trade no matter how much you own. Toyotas, Hondas, and Nissan, they're all at the outlet. Lincolns, Mercurys, Fords, Dodges, Chevrolets, and Jeeps, they're all at the outlet. Acuras, Lexus, Infinities, Hyundais, Kias, and more. Plus, while supplies last, get free tickets to the Firecats just for stopping by. 1,000 used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, they're all at the outlet. The Miramar Outlet, just east of I-75. Everybody knows you get the lowest prices on quality merchandise at the outlet stores. Now, for the first time ever, get outlet pricing on over 1,000 used cars through Sunday at the Miramar Outlet.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With TrueView, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
TrueView's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. TrueView, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Lots of people talk about the ways that schools should inspire students to be creative. I'm Mary Chapin Carpenter. Business and education leaders say that young workers too often lack the creativity needed to remain flexible and excel on the job. Well, helping young minds tap their creativity is just as important as mastering math and English skills. When you look at today's educational landscape, one of the best places that creativity is actively encouraged is in music class. Music classrooms today are like deep wells of creative energy just waiting to be explored by young minds. Don't let it go to waste.
A back-to-school PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, it wires the brain for learning.
This is Craig T. Nelson. Picture a network of children's hospitals that provides world-class hospital care to children with orthopedic problems and severe burns, totally free of charge. That's a picture of the Shriners Hospitals. The Shriners combine expert medical care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs, and there's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Okay,
So you've been hearing a lot about the environment and greenhouse gases, and you're conflicted because you know it's important, but what can you do? The EPA urges you to be part of the solution with Energy Star. The fact is, your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car. It's true. But by replacing your five most frequently used lights with ones that have earned the Energy Star, you've taken a powerful first step right at home. Discover more steps you can take to reduce air pollution from your home and car at EnergyStar.gov, and you'll feel good knowing you're making a difference.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you on the Guy James Show. Welcome. I'm glad to have you along with us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here. And, hey, I want to let all of our 263-6570 in Collier County, by the way. I want to let all of our Republican friends know, and I know you're listening because I sure get your email every week. Why hasn't anybody still called me to defend Tom DeLay? You know, I've issued that challenge before, and he is your leader out there right now. He's leading the House of Representatives, 239 of them, or however many it is. You know, if a guy's leading my group like that, I'd be doggone proud of him and think he's a worthy man, and he's a good, upright, ethical man, an honest man. Cares about his fellow man, cares about America and all that. You know, if he's my guy, I'd be right there, you know, I'd be calling. Saying, hey, Guy James, what are you talking about? My House Majority Leader is a great guy, but gee whiz, nobody's calling to say that. And it disappoints me a little bit. It really does, because I know there's some Tom DeLay fans out there. There must be somewhere... Going back to the bankruptcy thing real quick, did you know that the credit card companies, let me see here, credit card and retail, $56 million to political parties and candidates in the last election. Huh? Will that buy us some votes on that bankruptcy bill or not? $56 million? You bet. Not only would it buy you some votes, it did buy them some votes. It bought them a lot of votes, bought them just as many as they needed. And someone sent me a note to let me know that the two major abuses for bankruptcy, number one, a very high-income entrepreneurs who hide their assets in abusive homesteads in Texas and Florida and Nevada, asset protection trust, like Paul Bilzerian of Bicoastal Corporation fame, and then number two, corporate Chapter 11 reorganizations, especially, and this is one that is especially despicable, to shed retiree benefits and pension plans and collective bargaining agreements for corporations. They didn't touch either one of those abuses. Didn't touch them. No. Oh, no. And you know why. You know exactly why. I do want to let you know once again, very, very quickly, we've talked about the annual gala taking place Monday, April 16th. That's this. Boy, it'll be going on 48 hours from now. Woo, be whooping it up. Howard Dean will be speaking 48 hours from now. Right now, Howard Dean will be talking, and I'll be sitting there listening to him. I hope he says something good. I know he will. But it's at the Naples Beach Hotel. It's $100 per person. Cocktail attire required. Black tie optional. Great entertainment, great food, and a great night for Democrats. Featuring, very humbly, of course, Guy James, host of America's number one Democratic talk show, U.S. Congressman Jim Davis, chairman of the Florida Democratic Party, Scott Maddox, and, of course, the first official visit of any Democratic Party chairman to Southwest Florida, Governor Howard Dean. And as we mentioned before, this event is sold out. They made up 500 tickets for it. I started out with 350, and then they moved it to a larger hall, and they sold those out immediately. And it is sold out, but here's a little-known secret, and like I said, keep this to yourselves or to a friend. You can tell a friend if you need to. I know a lot of you have called and emailed and everything else and wanted to get tickets to this event. Well, I'm telling you right now, it is sold out except for the loyal listeners of this show. The first six listeners to call 239-405-0355 after 7 a.m. tomorrow morning will have an opportunity to purchase a ticket to this wonderful event. Single tickets only, no pairs. But that, again, that number is 239-405-0355. Anytime after 7 a.m., that phone will not be on until after 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, and you'll be able to get a ticket to that event. And believe me, it's the event of a lifetime here in Southwest Florida for we Democrats. Let's go up to Winter Haven, Florida, a beautiful place.
Hello.
Hi, Juanita. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
You're not bitter this week. You're harsh.
Yes, harsh.
Okay.
Harsh.
I would like to talk about being a liberal and, you know, the speech by John Kennedy.
Yes.
About being a liberal.
Yes.
And I'm just going to use a few words of his because it's a long speech. But they were accusing him of being liberal, and he said, if you mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties, and someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad, if that's what they mean by liberal, then I'm proud to say I'm a liberal.
That's right.
And like this is for the Democrats in office, if any one of them cares.
Yeah.
Please be proud to be a liberal. Stand up for we the people. Don't be bipartisan. We tried the last 4.5 years being disgustingly bipartisan. Even God does not like lukewarm Christians. He would spew them out of the mouth. He would rather they be hot or cold. And remember that Democrats, some are in name only, just like some Christians are in name only.
That's right.
Especially here in Florida.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Juanita, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think she's talking about some of this religious McCarthyism that's taking place these days. That's a term that's being used, right? Religious McCarthyism. Did you see that Bill Frist... What was that quote? What was that saying from Bill Frist the other day? That he was going to be at the back of some organization that said these judges are now acting against Christians and so forth. They're playing it to the hilt. I even saw an email being passed around in a speech. It was a speech given by Bill Frist, and get this, they emphasized that the speech was given to a group while Bill Frist was visiting the sermon, or visiting where the site of the Sermon on the Mount. And Bill Frist gave a little speech there to a group. Now, isn't that just special? Isn't it, though? Religious McCarthyism, that's exactly what it's all about. We're going to do a whole show on that in just a couple of weeks. It's getting out of hand, folks. It is really getting out of hand. We had Dobson this past week compare the Supreme Court justices and the federal judges to members of the KKK. They're just doing a wonderful job of that. And the media just goes right along with it, just keeps passing it out. Yeah, here's this thing. I find your insinuation, this from Frist, he said that the Democratic Party is against people of faith because they're attempting to keep a few of George Bush's judicial candidates from being appointed. Deeply insulting, this woman wrote this letter to Frist. But isn't it something? Bill Frist, Democrats are attacking Christians. Come on, Bill. He can do better than that. He's throwing his line in the water. He's going to run for president. You know he is. Very definitely going to run for president. We know that. And he's going to try and drag this religious right with him. He won't have to drag him. He's going to lure him in. And he thinks he can get elected with that. He might be right. Oh, my God. I can't imagine. Let's go to Gloria in Fort Myers. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, how are you, Guy? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
You were talking about the religious right, and I was just thinking about that. I've heard so much about it in the last couple of days watching television and that. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm Catholic. I'm against abortion. I'm against the death penalty. I'm against preemptive war, and I'm proud to be a Democrat. And I can't understand why we're letting him get away with this. Because, in my opinion, if Jesus Christ walked the earth today, he'd be concerned with the poor people.
Of course he would.
And this certainly isn't a party that's concerned with the poor people.
No, absolutely not.
No, but I can't, but you know, you were talking earlier about the people who voted for this bankruptcy law, and I think you're right in what you said. But I also have seen what they do to the people who do vote against what they want. You know, the party that's in power right now, if they get not one of our members or one of our senators that speaks loudly against something they have, then when it comes time for their election, they pull all the big guns. And, of course, they've got the pharmaceutical companies behind them. They've got the oil people behind them. And they've got a lot of money behind them. And they pour all that money into getting that person defeated. So,
absolutely. Yeah, if they don't believe that, ask Tom Daschle.
That's it. That's it. And remember when Howard Dean was running for president, how they played that over and over and over again, that speech where he said, we're going to go here and we're going to go there.
Yeah.
And it was, that had to be backed by, Republicans were loving it because he was the one candidate they were the most afraid of.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, that whole thing was phonied up. They isolated his microphone. Actually, there was a big crowd there. A lot of people know this, but there was a big crowd there, and Howard's voice really didn't stand out in that crowd hardly at all. But they recorded an isolation on his microphone and made it sound like he's a wacko standing up there.
Yeah. And they loved it. They were doing it, and then the Democrats. Us, all of us, we sit down, maybe we shouldn't vote for him, maybe it's just, we have to stand up as a party, all of us, individually. We can't expect miracles out of our leaders if we're not willing to stand behind them.
That's right. I agree. And we need to stand behind them, and we need to get good ones in there and then back them to the hilt.
You're right. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks for your call, Gloria. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Want to have some fun with one of these hardcore evangelicals. You want to really have some fun with that? And I should ask Gloria that. You want to have fun with one of these hardcore evangelicals, ask them if they think Mother Teresa was a Christian. Go ahead and do that one time, okay? Yes, you want to see some squirming and twisting and yeah, okay. Let's, I'm proud of myself over that one, I really am. That works so well. I've tried it a couple of times, and it's just it's amazing to see the look on her face. Let's go to Judy in Alexandria, Virginia.
Hey, guy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm one of your old DU buddies.
Well, good. I figured you were.
Well, I want to talk about our good old friend Bill Frist.
Yes.
Yeah, Kitten Kevorkian, they call him, you know?
Yeah, the guy. Good. Tell that story. I don't imagine some people know about that, what he said.
I don't. When he wrote his book about being in medical school, he wrote a little chapter saying how he used to get cats, you know, adopt little kittens out of the SPCA, and then he would take them home and he'd dissect them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
That's right. I'll tell you, between that and Bush blowing up the frogs with the firecrackers, I don't know, we got quite a pair there.
Oh, God. You know, God love them. Oh,
yeah.
Aren't they good Christians?
Yes, of course.
I'm telling you. I hope the American public just wake up and realize what we have in power today.
Well, they might have seen the light after that.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Not yet. Well, I just wanted to call in and just mention Kitten Kevorkian as we know him.
Kitten Kevorkian first. Kevorkian first. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the biggest phony I think I've ever seen. But you know, he is serving the Republicans well because the Bushes shoved him in there after Lott left because he was a yes man, and he's been nothing but yes.
Oh, yeah. And he thinks he's going to be running for president. What
yes,
do you
he
think
does.
About that?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get very many votes.
I hope to God he doesn't.
He's not on the Democratic side.
No, certainly not. Not exactly a crossover candidate.
Really? Well, Guy, I love your show.
Thanks for calling.
I've loved you from the beginning. So.
Thank you so much. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. You know, I've said for a long time, from the beginning, when these people came in, not now, from the beginning, that was my father-in-law's saying from way back, not now, from the beginning. He lived to be 97 years old, so I guess he knew what he's doing in the beginning. And when you're 97, it's a long time back. But I digress. Since this Bush administration started, and we began to see them set up shop in the White House and the Pentagon and every place that they did and form their administration, they might as well have put a brand on their foreheads, all of them, that said greed. Greed. I've always said, and I've maintained over the years, that greed is going to be the downfall of this administration. Most certainly it is going to be greed. You know, over the years, the Republican Party has proven that they are most definitely the party of greed, and they've accomplished little else other than feeding the fat cats their ever-increasing portion of the money in this country. But this new bunch, their greed is absolutely insatiable. And that doesn't seem that they can be satisfied no matter how much they pillage from the rest of us. Tax cuts, why, sure, we'll take those tax cuts and give us some more. Of course. Treasury going broke, I don't care. Give us some more tax cuts. We're going to go to Randy in Naples. He wants to say something about Mother Teresa.
No, I said that's what prompted me to call.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Christian myself. Whether Mother Teresa was, I'm not sure. Obviously, she probably wasn't, or you wouldn't have brought it up. But
she probably what?
Probably was not, if the way that you posed the question.
No, I think if Mother Teresa wasn't, then nobody was. Is.
Well, no, then you don't understand Christianity. It's very simple. You believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. It's as simple as that, but I don't hear a lot of compassion.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know where you're at on this. You think that I think Mother Teresa wasn't a Christian, or you don't
your
think?
Your question was, if you want to ask a hardcore evangelical whether Mother Teresa was a Christian or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was or was not.
Oh.
But I assumed that she wasn't. Because of the way you posed the question.
No, certainly not. The way I posed the question is that I assumed she was, and all every right-wing, hardcore, zealot, evangelical that I've talked to said that she most certainly was not, because she's Catholic.
Well, that could be their belief. I mean, Christianity is a belief. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
No, it's not just Christianity is not just a belief. There are many, many, many different ways to believe in Christianity, and the hardcore evangelicals, and I know what I'm talking about, don't think that Catholics are true Christians.
Well, that could be their opinion, but it doesn't really matter what their opinion is. It matters what's in the individual's heart and what their true beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
A Christian is someone who believes in Christ, who came, died, was born again, and the only way to get to heaven is through him. And, you know, that's it. But are you new to the area? Can I ask you that?
No, I'm not.
No, I haven't heard your show before. I apologize. I don't think you'd be listening at this time of night. I'm at the airport waiting to pick someone up. The plane's late, sitting in my car. But
I see. No, we're not new to the area.
Everyone says that the conservative or, you know, whatever, it goes hard on both sides. I'm more down the middle myself, but so you got to take care of the poor. You got to take care of the poor. Like, they don't care about the poor, but I never really hear anything to back up how it is that you say that the poor isn't being taken care of. Is it giving them more money from our tax dollars? Or, you know, they don't really have to pay tax anymore. When Bush changed his tax plan, the very, very low income people don't have to file
Let's just take the school lunch program, for example. Do you think we ought to chuck that?
No.
Now, the Republicans do.
Probably cut some of that back. I would have to know more specifically.
Yeah, well, they want to throw the whole program right out the window. Say it isn't warranted.
Okay, you know, I don't go hard Republican, you know,
And welfare, I might say that the welfare programs in this country were cut more under the Clinton administration. They were cut down to practically nothing.
Yeah, it's a joke in and of itself when you have any form of our government, be it right or left, in charge. Whatever they try to do, they're going to screw up. But
trying to line their own pockets.
Well, yeah, that's the whole system. We needed a new third party. That's what we really should be rallying around, is a new party where someone actually has our best interests at heart, not just getting reelected, not lining their pockets, like you say. I agree with you there.
Well, the question is, how do you get that done? How do you get honest politicians in office? I think first.
Well, it's not going to get done until everyone starts to suffer. When Joe Sixpack can come, every guy can come home and, you know, watch TV and drink beer or whatever. They don't have no worries. When things get really bad, then something will happen. But unfortunately, in my opinion, it's going to have to come to something like that.
Well, I don't think we're very far off.
Hey, well, I would hope so, because the way it is now, it stinks.
Hey, thanks for listening and thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you. Well, when we come back from the top of the news, if you want to comment on it anyway, you know, they're always talking about the liberal media, the liberal media, the liberal media, as if they say it 10 million times, it's going to be true. It isn't true. You know it's not true. I know it's not true. There is no liberal media. At least if there is a liberal media, it's our tiny little voice here. It's Air America's tiny little voice. It's Ed Schultz's tiny little voice. Bernie Ward's tiny little voice. There aren't many of us. And when you compare it to, once again, I will bring it up. I got my pencil and paper out and the local programming here in Naples and added it up this week. And it is slightly over 200 hours of right-wing programming a week to three. We have three liberal hours of programming a week right here on this show. And the stations in this area have 200, slightly over 200 hours. I didn't make that up. I figured it out. 200 hours of right-wing programming, and yet people want to call this. And this takes place all across the country. The people I mentioned a while ago, the other broadcasters, you know, it's not very many. And it's not very many stations involved. And so they talk about the liberal media, and my God, come on. Please. What I want to know is if there is truly a powerful liberal media out there this week, and you all remember the Schiavo story, you all remember it well about how when it got desperate in the last couple of weeks of that whole situation, how they literally crucified Mr. Schiavo, Michael Schiavo. They crucified him, say, making claims that he had abused her and that he had probably physically put her in that condition, and that he had kept her dirty and unkept and hadn't provided proper care, poisoning her and asking the nurses about when is she going to die and all that sort of stuff. You heard all those charges, and you heard it on the liberal media? I don't think so. But if there's a powerful liberal media, and you know that the liberals and conservatives were divided on the Schiavo issue, let me ask you this question. The state investigators in Florida of the Florida DFC, came out with their report this week, found no clear evidence that Terry Schiavo was denied rehabilitation, neglected, or otherwise abused, according to documents released yesterday by the state's Department of Children and Family. The agency completed nine reports of abuse, accusations made from 2001 to 2004, including neglect of hygiene, denial of dental care, poisoning, and physical harm. The accusations, which have been widely reported, focused on Michael Schiavo, and they found no truth to any of them. None. Not a shred of evidence. Nothing. Tell me why that the liberal media, if there was one, wouldn't have reported that all over the place. You haven't heard much about that, have you? You haven't heard hardly anything about this, and you're not going to. Because there is no liberal media. At least very little. Over and over and over again, that comes up and you hear it. And if you're not convinced that you're being propagandized, I don't know what to tell you. You've heard that term liberal media over and over and over again, thousands, hundreds of thousands of times. And yet here's a story that the liberal media, if there was one, would be glad to proclaim, exonerating themselves of, you know, hey, we were telling the truth all along. This guy isn't guilty of what you accused him of. But you haven't heard it, have you? Have you heard it on CBS, NBC, or ABC? No, you haven't. Maybe on this evening's news. I don't know. I missed this evening's news. Been here. Liberal media. Yeah. Hey, listen to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM here in Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. And we're going to be back right after the news at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. We got a lot to talk about this last hour.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju. A conclusion police feared the most. A body found in a Florida fish pond is believed to be missing 13-year-old Sarah Lundy. They're questioning a former boyfriend of Lundy's mother.
David Amstad, he is a convicted sex offender being held right now on unrelated charges. In fact, I asked the sheriff earlier today when or if they will name David Amstad a suspect. He replied, when we're ready to throw the cuffs at him.
Fox's Julie Banderas in Ruskin. Sunni gunmen holding a countless number of Shiite hostages in Iraq.
There are also reports that a joint U.S.-Iraqi military operation is underway to defuse the situation. U.S. military here in Baghdad not commenting on that operation, but they seem to be acknowledging that something is going on down there. One official says, quote, we hope this issue can be resolved peacefully.
That from Fox's Greg Kelly in Baghdad. Fox News, we report, you decide.
So, you want a new flat panel TV, or maybe even a whole new entertainment system. You think you're ready to buy, but head into one of those all-in-one home electronics stores, and you could take a wrong turn at the refrigerators, get sidetracked by a blender demonstration, and end up leaving with the hottest new karaoke machine on the market. When it comes to buying a television, you need experts, and a place where you can hear yourself think. Sound advice is the last word in TVs and everything that goes with them. They'll make sense of everything you've heard, and even let you in on a few things you didn't know you didn't know. Right now, get the latest 42-inch Panasonic plasma for $24.99. That's right, a Panasonic, a top name for a low price. And get this, if you come in by Sunday, you can take it home with no money down and no interest for 18 months. So leave the noise and distractions to the other guys. When you're serious about getting the best in home and mobile entertainment, Sound Advice has got it. Get it? Good. Sound Advice. They can untangle your mind.
Now, 2004 was Southern and Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005, bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends in 88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh 8. More than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima, $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value, Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Vince, 215-718 and 473-66. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fee.
Tomorrow's clouds.
1 minute to the open.
Weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. News, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Here we are for the last hour of the program of the tonight's Guy James Show, up till 10 o'clock Eastern Time and 55 minutes away from the top of the hour, wherever you are in the world, except if you're in Newfoundland. I think Newfoundland. Ron, do you know, is Newfoundland still on the half hour? There was a time, and correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but there was a time when the only place in the world, I believe, that was on the half hour, yes, it's true, was Newfoundland. The Canadian people have fun with the Newfoundlanders. They call them Newfies, affectionately, of course. That's right. Glad to have you with us, all of you listening on the Democratic Underground tonight. We've gotten several calls from the folks there and calls from our local folks. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5540. If you're here in Lee County, and 263-6570. You know, somebody on the Internet talking about, are we going to have a segment of Republican love? And no, we're not this week. I can hear the radio go click now. but I do want to remind everybody, I do want to remind everybody that I've got some very, very interesting news that I know you want to hear. This is a special Guy James Show news bulletin. The College of Cardinals in Rome has contracted the Diebold Voting Machine Company, and they're installing some of their machines in the Sistine Chapel this weekend so they can be used on Monday. They wanted to make absolutely sure that they have a fair election for the new Pope. So there you have it, the College of Cardinals contract with Diebold for voting machines in the Sistine Chapel. That's the tongue-in-cheek news from the Guy James Show. Hey, earlier I read you a note about the bankruptcy that I received from somebody. I got a letter this week, and I'm not going to do Republican love, but I'm going to do a letter for someone written by someone we should all love here. And this letter is from a gentleman named John Roberts. And he writes, and I want you to listen to this, and my right-wing friends, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this if you're on the right, keeping in mind that they're wanting to throw away the estate tax so that the fat cats can have even more money. They're wanting to get a bigger tax cut for the fat cats. They're wanting to give the rich folks everything they possibly can. So keep that in mind when you listen to this letter. Dear Guy, my name is John Roberts. I'm a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was very disturbed Tuesday, April 12th, when I learned of a proposal by Senator Patty Murray of Washington had been knocked down. The proposal would have taken $1.98 billion and given it to the VA hospitals. Every Democrat voted for it, and all but one Republican voted against it. The reason Republicans gave was there is no crisis in VA hospitals. It has become obvious to me these Republicans never have been to a VA hospital. Just this last weekend, a buddy I served with in Operation Iraqi Freedom had a temperature of 102. He has no health insurance, and neither do I. He went to the VA hospital to be treated. He waited 8 hours in the waiting room to be seen by the one doctor they had on the staff. I suppose it's not a crisis for Bill Frist or Rick Santorum or any of the other Republican senators. After all, if they need health care, they get it. I just thought with them sending all this money to Iraq and the last time losing $8 billion of it, which was unaccounted for and it was treated as no big deal, that they could spare $2 billion for returning vets. You would think $2 billion would be no problem for them to give to the VA hospitals. I really hope this country can get back on track. This is one of the worst betrayals of veterans I have ever seen since I've followed politics. Keep on getting the word out for us, Guy, because no media organization will. Thank you, John Roberts. Are you proud? Are you proud that they cut that $1.98 billion out of the budget for the VA hospitals? Does that make you proud? Those of you that have stood up and clapped your hands and waved your flags and everything for Mr. Bush to take these people into war and rah-rah the troops, this, that, and everything. Does that make you proud, that letter right there? No, and he really doesn't give a damn what happens to them afterward, just so he can use them now. Let's go to Jack in Cape Coral. Hi, Jack. You with us, Jack?
Hey, are you there, guys?
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment briefly about Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
The way that, first of all, I want to also say that I believe George Bush is an empty suit.
Mm-hmm.
He is nowhere near the Republican that I voted for. And I just can't believe how they're portraying this man around. You know, the photo ops at the Pope funeral and things like that. He was an impeached president. He was an embarrassment to this United States of America. And my opinion of the man is...
Who are you talking about?
Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay, you didn't...
I'm sorry. I
thought you were talking about George Bush. And I thought,
well, George Bush is an empty suit.
We hadn't impeached him yet, but go ahead.
No, yet, you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree about that. I don't think he's doing anything that is an impeachment offense, but anyway, back to Bill. Why are they bringing this man around? You got Father Bush, you got Papa Bush, you got a Georgie Bush, and you got Bill Clinton tagging along on their coattails. And I'm just
on their coattails? No, let me suggest that it's the other way around. I believe the reason that they took Bill Clinton along with them, and regardless what anybody thinks of Bill Clinton,
right.
I firmly believe the reason they took Clinton along with them is so they'd be received well in other countries. They hate George Bush all around the world. They hate him. Hate him.
They
do hate him. And so taking Clinton around, which the rest of the world loved Bill Clinton, whether you think he's right or wrong, the rest of the world did love Bill Clinton. So they take the most popular president that after JFK around the world, you take him along with them, then they're not going to boo the president too bad. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right there, Guy. I can't disagree with you. I just feel that the man was impeached, and you just said, George Bush hasn't been impeached yet. I agree wholeheartedly that the man is making some very bad decisions, and he's not speaking up for himself. He's not letting the American public know what he's doing. It's kind of secret. Everything they do with that whole administration is secretive. It's very, very secretive.
Very much so. And you know the reason they impeached Bill Clinton was for lying, actually, for making false statements.
Lying under oath.
Yeah. That's the reason.
But it was a sex scandal, and it was just a bunch of BS.
So given the fact that Bill Clinton lied about that, and he did. I mean, I most guys I know have lied about that have been involved in a deal like that. But anyway, given the fact that he did lie about it, and he did, there's no question about it, and I'm not proud of that, and I don't think he is either. But anyway... Given the fact that he was impeached over that, what would you think is more serious? A guy being impeached over that, or a guy getting us into a war on false pretenses?
I don't believe it's under false pretenses. This war that we are in right now is a necessary war.
In Iraq?
I believe so. Yes, I do.
Because of those weapons of mass destruction?
No, well, you can go all the way back to the weapons of mass destruction, because that was the reason why we got into this in the first place.
And was that the truth?
Well,
no.
It was what they believed from the information that they gathered.
But it wasn't true. And they massaged the intelligence to have it come out the way they wanted it to. They sent Dick Cheney to the CIA, and that's an unprecedented number of trips to the CIA to make sure the intelligence came out the way they wanted it to.
Right. I agree. I'm not saying that I'm going to go vote for the next leftist liberal that I find, but I'm just saying to you that... Bill Clinton following George and Papa Bush around, it's just disturbing to me.
He could have gone on his own and been received very, very warmly any place he goes in the world. I thank you for your call, Jack. Good to hear from you. Thanks for listening to the program. You know, I said last week, and I heard from somebody about that, and they didn't appreciate what I said, but I stand by it. I said that them taking Clinton along with them to Rome was like the kid that had to, his mother had to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him. If they hadn't taken Clinton along when they did boo Bush, it would have been a whole lot worse if Bill Clinton hadn't been along. They had some respect for him. They don't have any for George Bush. I mean, I'll say it. I don't have any respect for him either. I used to have a little bit. I thought maybe when he first got elected, I thought, oh, what the hell? Maybe he'll turn, you know, fly right and be a, boy, was I wrong. You know, this, speaking of George Bush, coming up May 2nd, I believe it's May 2nd, our president stood on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln and with his usual braggadocio, he announced to the American people and to the world, by the way, that our mission in Iraq was accomplished. You all remember that. That's coming up here. That second anniversary, that's coming up pretty soon. And since that time, we've lost about, another 1,500 men. And as most of you know, I'm hardly ever inspired to say anything good about this president. And believe me, it still makes me choke to call him that. But on May 2nd, 2003, he stood before the world on that magnificent aircraft carrier, which, by the way, as many of you know, had been carefully positioned so that the viewers wouldn't see that he was right off the coast of Southern California instead of out to sea. They polished everything so well in this administration. I always thought the Clinton people were the best, but these guys are the best. There's nobody puts on a show like they do. So he stood in front of the crew of the ship and the American people and had that banner flying behind him, mission accomplished. And when people questioned him about that banner, he said, well, no, the guys on the ship made that banner. A couple of months later, we found out that the guys on the ship didn't make that mission accomplished banner at all. It came along with Bush over there and his crew. And the ship guys didn't make that banner, which shows you the lengths they will go to fool the people. So he stands in front of the crew of the ship, the American people, and he spewed what I consider to be his most unfortunate piece of propaganda to date, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished, he declared, you know, with that grin on his face, like that smirk. There he stood in his custom-made flight suit, making him look more like, like Barbie doll's friend Ken than a world leader. He stands there with his flight helmet in hand, wanting to project an image of a fearless fighter pilot who was out to save the world because of his magnificent bravery flying in that jet over there. What a crock. It was all a crock, but the thing is, we know our right-wing friends ate it up. I've heard some of his blind followers state that scene made them well up with tears out of pure pride. I've heard a lot of people say that, said they had tears in their eyes when he said that. Why? Because Mr. Bush had valiantly led our troops into Iraq, where they vanquished the evildoer Hussein and liberated the Iraqi people from his reign of death and destruction. He killed innocent Iraqis, they claimed, of Hussein. You know, he was a menace to the rest of the world. He possessed weapons of mass destruction, which could annihilate his neighbors, and especially Israel. You know, never mind that the Israelis thought that idea was laughable. They never had any trouble taking care of themselves. And never mind that his military was almost totally hapless. Never mind that the whole WMD business was a hyped-up lie. Never mind that the Iraqi people didn't want us in their land in the first place. They didn't see us as liberators and throw flowers and candy and all that. Oh, no, never mind all that, because we saved the Iraqi people. Could you possibly look at the video coming out of Baghdad last week where the Iraqi people were burning Hussein, Blair, and George W. Bush in effigy because they wanted all the foreign troops out of their land? Could you really look at that and say, wow, they really love us for liberating them? If you think that, you're a fool, aren't you? Of course you are. You know, if you think we went to Iraq and lost 1,550 or so, I think it was 1,551 today, I think that's the number, of our precious young people. If you think we lost that many to liberate that country, then please call me because I want to discuss a, well, I got a business deal for you concerning a poor Nigerian widow needing to get her money out of the country and then who's willing to share $25 million with you just to be able to send it to your U.S. bank account. I got a deal like that for you. You can liberate her, too, and make a few bucks for yourself. But those of you who believe Bush about his motive of liberating Iraq, did you see the film out of Afghanistan where Karzai was saying that the Afghanis were requesting that the United States maintain a military presence in their country? All those Afghani people, yeah, let's have some Americans in here with a military base. Yeah. Let's see now. They fought for how many years to keep the Russians out, but they're going to welcome the Americans in. Oh, yeah, they're going to welcome them. Did that give you a clue as to what really gone on over there? The CIA and Cheney's good old friend asking for permanent military bases in Afghanistan. Tell me, how many countries around the world are asking for the U.S. to place a military base in their nation? Remember that movie, The Mouse That Roared? Maybe something like that. If you know some, please give me a call and share your list of countries who are anxious to have American soldiers camped in their backyard. I'd like to know who those countries are. I really would. And how about those of you who have maintained that we need a military presence in the Middle East in order to protect our good friend Israel? Stop and think about that for a minute. I hear that all the time, and I know a lot of you do too, and some of you actually believe it, I'm sure. But you hear that we got to protect our friends Israel. Have you seriously thought that through? I want you to think about this for a minute. Do you think in this modern world where we can have any weapon we want to in that area probably within 12 hours, do you think any country in the world would dare lay a hand on Israel? Do you? The whole of the military might of the United States of America is at the disposal of the Israelis, and you think some other nation would invade them? This isn't 1967 again. It's nothing like that. No, this is the modern world, and you think we got to have a presence there to protect Israel. First of all, I would say that the Israelis, because of our help, because of our aid, and because of our military might that we've sold them, are plenty capable of taking care of themselves, thank you. They have nukes. They have F-16s. They've got it all. They've got a modern army. Believe me, if the United States, if Israeli was a foe of the United States, I'd worry about going to war against them over there. Oh, yeah, we'd get them sooner or later, but woo, it'd be hell to pay first because that's one mean army they've got and well, well equipped. So, please, this deal about having to be in Iraq and be over there to protect Israel, please rethink that one. That's really silly. So, now we now know that the Iraqis were certainly no threat to us. They were no threat to anybody. And with oil prices what they are right now, we didn't go there for the oil, not in the name of the consumers anyway. So we're left with the argument that we went there to liberate the Iraqi people. Can you imagine the conversation that took place in the White House before going to war to liberate the Iraqis over human rights violations by old Saddam Hussein, which is now the last reason that they've used we went there to liberate them. There, I don't know, there were four or five before that, but this is the one they've finally come to. Bush shows up at the morning cabinet meeting one day right after 9/11 and says, you know, guys, I've been thinking them poor people over in Iraq is having a real hard time, and it's bothered me to the point that I think we need to go over there and kick some Saddam Hussein tail. Why, he's hurting them people, and he's killing them, and all sorts of nasty stuff. And God wants me to straighten out the whole thing. He told me so himself. God told me. And then you got the old Karl Rovemeister chiming in and says, brilliant idea, Mr. President. Military invention is the right thing to do. Let's do it right away. The American people want some revenge anyway, and hell, it really doesn't matter who we attack as long as some people darker than us. And then old Colin Powell jumps in. And, Mr. President, you know, there's some regimes on this planet who are also guilty of terrible human rights violations, like the Sudan and North Korea. Shouldn't we go after them first? And, you know, Dick Cheney's going to pop up and say, hey, Colin, who asked you anyway? You really don't think anybody here gives a damn what you say. And so they squabble about it, and Bush ends up saying, well, no, you know, I feel a great amount of compassion for the Iraqi people, and we must go over there and liberate them. Is that what you think happened? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think it had nothing to do with it. Nothing about compassion, about liberating the people over there. That's absurd. Let's go to Sheldon in Malaché. Hi, Sheldon.
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Is this guy?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Democrat, at least I was, and I've listened to you for an hour, which I never hardly listened to at all. I just thought I'd stop and listen to you tonight. I've listened to you for an hour, and you've done nothing but run down the United States. And you've never, you bash the Republicans for what they're doing in their Senate and that there, but you've never come up with any good ideas how to fix things. And that's the reason why we don't. I just listened to the woman that called in, and you're talking about Christians. Well, I'm an evangelist, and that Mary Teresa was a Christian. And she'll go to heaven with glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of these Christians that you're always talking about. And the reason why we left the Democratic Party is because, you know, progressive thinking, yeah, you take the nativity scenes out of our country, you take God we trust off of our bills, you won't let the Christians pray in school.
The Democrats did that, did they?
You're darn right, the Democrats.
Really?
Who
are the Democrats that did that? Could you name the Democrats that did that for me?
Kennedy.
Huh?
Your buddy, Kennedy.
What?
Even his brother, if he was running for president today, he couldn't even get in the Democratic Party.
Hey, you mentioned all these things here, that the Christian thing and all that. You said the Democrats did that. Would you mind explaining that, and who and how and when they did that?
Who's for the ACLU?
Who's for the ACLU?
Yeah, the Democrats.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact. They're the ones that's getting them the money and everything else so that we can go out and pay for them to win all of these lawsuits that they put against the cities and everything.
Boy, you're a trip. The Democrats sent the ACLU the money?
Our congressmen and senators did.
Did they?
They should take the money.
Which ones were that sent them? I'd like to write them and ask them about it.
Well, why don't you write them and ask them about it?
Yeah, do you know which ones? Because I will. I'll call and ask them about it.
It cost $1 million just to go this one lawsuit, and they lost it, and we had to pay them $1 million.
Well,
check into it.
Who paid the money, $1 million here? I didn't get a bill, did you?
I don't know the name of the bill.
Well, yeah, but I'd like to know the name of these Democrats that sent them that $1 million, because I'd call them. I'd call them Monday.
Well, why don't you check into it?
Well, I don't appreciate that. If my Democratic senators and congressmen are sending money to the ACLU.
Listen to your Supreme Court Justice Goldberg, what she says about that our Constitution of the United States is a frozen document, that we should listen to International Court or whatever. And you guys are for you're just ridiculous.
Hey, I mean, Mark, I'm talking to my studio people here. Mark that down. We're against the Constitution too. Write that down. I'm gonna call these guys Monday.
Well, listen.
I didn't know. No, I'm telling you, Sheldon. I didn't know that they were doing this stuff. I mean, you guys, it's news to me. I didn't know it, and I'm gonna call them, give them a piece of my mind. I can tell you that right now. I don't appreciate it.
We thought Carter in, and he is one of the worst Democratic presidents we ever had.
I'll call him too. That damn car. I'll call him.
I mean, I'm getting sick of it.
I'm sick of it too, Sheldon. I'll tell you what, if I only knew who these guys were, I'd call them. I'd call them in your name and my name and everybody. I'm sick of it.
Don't you listen to Kennedy and...
Yeah.
And just a woman from California?
Why, he's lost his mind.
You better believe this.
I know it. I'm calling them too.
Even one of the senators, they're that old...
the Ku Klux Klan man that I thought was a terrific man and was really, I really liked him. He's gone.
He's what?
He's gone nuts.
He's gone nuts?
Yes.
Hey, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Hey, we got crazy people there. Call them, too. Call Bellevue Hospital. No, we're going to get Bellevue in on this. We got nuts running around. And I tell you what, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. You've told me some things I didn't know, and I thank you for that. It's good to hear from you, Sheldon. My God, I'm going to have a busy week. Well, I am. You laugh if you want to, but it's going to be a busy week. I've got a lot of people. You know, that thing about the congressman sending that ACLU, that $1 million, that really... I don't know. I don't know. You know, I had other plans for Monday, but now I got all day long. I'm going to have to spend and calling these guys because he told me a bunch of stuff I never knew. I didn't. I hate to right now because I got my mind just full of stuff I got to. But we got to pause for a break right now. And I'll get my thoughts collected here and get my battle plan ready to start calling these guys. And get the secretary in here to start looking up those phone numbers for me. Will you give me a list? You're listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be back in a very sober mood when we come back from this break. You stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Where do you go when your company needs a car or truck? Sam Galloway Ford's Fleet and Commercial Center. Whatever you need, we've got it at the price no one else can beat. Right now, get new 05 Rangers for just $11,999. Yes, Ford Ranger trucks from $11,999. Plus, get the advantage of the business preferred network. So remember, when your company needs a car or truck, whether it's 2 or 50 vehicles, Sam Galloway Ford has over 400 work trucks available for immediate delivery. Flatbeds, box trucks, utility bodies, landscape dumps, you name it, we've got it. Because right now, the number one Ford dealer in Florida is dealing with 2005 Ford Rangers, $11,999. But hurry, at $11,999, these Rangers will go fast. Only at Sam Galloway Ford's Fleet and Commercial Center. Boy Scout Drive between 41 and Summerlin, Fort Myers. Because we sell more, you will save more.
Call 800-754-1871 for details. That's 800-754-1871.
Brown & Hawk Financial Group is a full-service brokerage and investment advisory firm with a wealth of Wall Street resources. At Brown & Hawk, financial goals are their primary concern. Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group, is presently offering the free financial physical. The free financial physical will cover the needs, wants, and objectives of your financial future. Mr. Brown will go over your current investments, explaining the ratings of your current stocks and mutual funds, reviewing your annuities and bonds, and making recommendations on your portfolio. For an appointment, call 415-4650. That's 415-4650. And ask for Richard Brown to have your free financial physical. Call 415-4650 today. Don't forget to listen to All About Money and Investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on 1240. 1270 Wink WNOG.
Lawyer, doctor, teacher, pilot.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Architect, actor, politician, writer.
What does your child want to be?
Musician, scientist, chef.
Well, if you struggle with reading, both of you have little chance of becoming any of those things. But nothing's worse than giving up on your dreams. That's why with family learning programs, parents and kids learn together, so they succeed together on things like computer and interview skills, CED preparation, and English as a second language, plus preschool education for kids. The results are amazing. But what's truly amazing is that the only thing it will cost you is your time. Family learning programs, the first step to a better life. Turn your life around today by calling toll-free 1-877-FAMLIT1. And be what you've always wanted to be.
Happy.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
You put your keys between your knuckles. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. You lock the door behind you, maybe twice. Now you feel safe. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed for the next day they're on the street again. So I started working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, we're back for the last, 24 minutes of the program. Where does the time go? I know I say that every week, but I get in here and sit down in the studio, and all of a sudden, whew, it's gone. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You know, I got to fix up one of those little ditties there with those numbers on there, so I don't say that all the time. I get sick of saying those numbers. Ron's always on me over there. Say the numbers, say the numbers. He puts it up on the screen 47 times a night. Put the numbers up. He just won't leave me alone. He hounds me and hounds me over those numbers. But he's right. Hey, we got a couple lines open. 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570. And all of you listening on the internet, you can find it on the Guy James Show thread right there, the numbers call. I wanted to briefly mention this John Bolton thing. I know it's been held up of him being confirmed for our ambassador to the United Nations. I wanted to let you know about a conversation I had this afternoon with a friend, and I wanted to get his opinion on this John Bolton thing. You never know when you talk to somebody in Washington. I swear to you that if John Bolton, and I mean this, if John Bolton were a lifelong Democrat and had worked for FDR, Harry Truman, John Kennedy, and Bill Clinton, I still wouldn't want him to be a representative to the United Nations. The guy evidently personally is an ass. It seems that almost the whole of Washington, D.C. knows it. Why does the administration go out of its way to antagonize the rest of the world? Why not work toward a solution to the problems of the U.N. instead of adding to them? You know, remember when it was reported that Bush told a citizen early on in his first administration, all of you remember this, somebody asked him, said something about caring. Bush says, who cares what you think? Well, I think he's shown us over and over again that he doesn't care what anybody thinks, but Real quickly, I just want to tell you about a conversation I had this afternoon with Ambassador Chaz Freeman, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and he was Assistant Secretary of State at the with Foreign Affairs. Now, you got a resume a mile long, but his main claim to fame is being ambassador to Saudi Arabia. And we discussed John Bolton. I called him insistence of a friend because Ambassador Freeman knows a lot about John Bolton. And really what it came down to in this conversation, that he says forget this stuff about him, his ideology, because in fact most Washingtonians do believe that the president is entitled to have his people in there, regardless of whether we agree with his ideology or not. And he said, forget about this personal stuff, whether people like him or not here in this country. But he said it comes down he's got to be competent for the job. And he said there is no competence there when John Bolton. I mean, this is coming from a former ambassador who knows. You know, this is a guy. And I'm quoting Ambassador Freeman here on several issues that thinks that the treaties that we're involved in are optional, that part of the Geneva Convention are quaint and outmoded. And I mentioned to Ambassador Freeman that
that he's a conservative. He said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, this man and most of these people in this administration are not conservatives. Don't insult the conservatives that way. They're radicals, not conservatives. You know, he said they will get nothing but contempt but the for the 15 members of the Securities Council, which he'll be on. Said he's totally unwilling to listen to the views that he doesn't agree with on his own. He makes one analysis after another of world situation based on his views, his thoughts, his ideology, when in fact we need a reality-based analysis of situations. But he's simply not competent. And it was interesting to talk to a gentleman that really knows the situation there about that. Very interesting. We'll have more to say about that next week. Let's go to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Yes.
Yes, sir. What's on
How
your
are
mind?
You guys?
Good.
Good. The only thing I wanted to make a point on is it's kind of obvious, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, but it's kind of obvious why we are not a force on talk radio.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because you've spent the last hour talking about why we're in Iraq. Guy, we're in Iraq. And we should
I only spent about 5 minutes talking about why we're in Iraq.
You took one phone call, it seems like, in the entire hour. All you did was slam the reason we're in Iraq. We, as Democrats, should support our troops, support the president, be it Republican or a Democrat.
I've got a bumper sticker on my car that I'm proud of. I don't have one of those little ribbon things that everybody's got. Mine says, support our troops, bring them home now.
Guy, did you support President Clinton?
Yes.
Did you support President Clinton sending our forces into Bosnia, into...
Yes.
To Belgrade?
Yes.
And why did he go into Belgrade?
It was a humanitarian effort.
Okay. Now, why did we go into Iraq?
Which reason do you want?
Well, let's go with the humanitarian one.
No, let's start it with all of them. If you're going to go the reasons we go to Iraq, let's start with reason. No, let's start with reason number one, okay? What was the first reason? Huh?
You have a dictator.
No, let's go with the first reason we went into Iraq. Number one, what was it?
It was the weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, now let's start with that one.
Okay,
where's that one at now?
As Democrats, that's all you do is talk about that. And
I didn't bring that up. You did.
But we look silly as Democrats if you keep on harping on the same dead issue instead of...
It's not a dead issue when the President of the United States lies to us and gets us into a war and gets 1,500 people killed. You think that's a dead issue? It's not. You tell the soldier that got killed over there today that that's a dead issue, damn it. You tell the parents of the kid that got killed earlier today that that war's a dead issue. That's the most ignorant statement I've heard anybody say. How can you be that ignorant? You tell the parents of those 1,500 people that have died since he said that. You tell them it's a dead issue, that war.
Why would you belittle me and call me...
I'm not belittling you. You belittled yourself. To say that that war is a dead issue is just plain ignorant.
Guy, I think I just finally struck a chord with you, guy.
You bet you did. You said the war is a dead... You call up here and tell me you're a Democrat. You're a fool is what you are. You're a Republican calling here trying to put down the Democrats. That's exactly what you're doing.
Guy, at least I'm a caller. You had like 3 calls the last hour.
You just said I only took 3 calls the last hour. You don't suppose I didn't...
Huh? Listen to you rant and rave... And you call yourself a Democrat.
And you call up here on a basis of a lie, telling me you're a Democrat. And then you say the war is a dead issue. What am I supposed to say to somebody that calls
me? What is a dead issue?
Huh?
It's not a dead issue. That we're in Iraq is a dead issue. We are there.
Oh, no. It'll never be a dead issue. Because how can we trust people to do anything again when they...
Well, the Democrats are going to be the second party forever. If they still have people like you that are supposedly a voice on... Are you a national radio show?
We're heard all over the world right now.
Oh, my God. That's all I needed to hear. Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear. See, we get a guy that calls up here and lies and says that he's a Democrat and then starts in, the war's not an issue. And I'm supposed to say, well, gee, I guess you're right. I guess the war isn't an issue. My goodness. Not an issue. We should allow a president of this country to run willy-nilly around the world with our military, doing what he will with them, in a situation where the whole world agreed that we should not go into, everybody except Great Britain. They agreed we shouldn't be there. And yet, that should be a dead issue. We should have confidence, I guess, in this man that sent us into this war under false pretenses. We should have confidence in him. So it's a dead issue. So let's just forget that. And let's now, he's out pushing a Social Security program now. Should we believe him on that? Should we believe him on anything he says from now on? I say no. I say certainly not. Dead issue. Alan in Fort Myers. Hi, Alan.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. I'm glad that the last conversation you just talked about us going into Iraq, and I want to share something with you. I'm glad I've had a chance to call this radio station because I never have and share about where I first heard about this possibility of us going into Iraq. Oh, first of all, and I would like to say, too, that I am a conservative. But do you ever listen to Imus in the morning?
Not much.
Okay. I was listening to Don Imus. I can't tell you when, and he had his guest was John Kerry. And it was when things were going well in Afghanistan. And Imus asking the question about, are we gonna go into Iraq next? And Kerry said, yes, that we will. It's gonna be a case we're going to make for the American people. And my mouth fell open and I was kind of dumbfounded. And there's two points I want to make with that. Number one, this idea wasn't just drummed up by George Bush. This was John Kerry, and what's interesting too.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
Where John Kerry said that because
I don't know. I can't tell you why.
I know why he said it. I've heard him say why he said it.
Okay.
He heard it on the basis of the information the White House gave them.
Okay, and that could be because
It not could be, it is.
Okay, because it was to me interesting because I must ask the question. And so he had to have some information to ask that question as well, that the thought was in D.C. that we're going to go into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say the conversation was, and maybe he did because that's what the White House was leaning towards, but he was not opposed to it at the time or did not appear to be.
No, as were a lot of Democrats that voted along with that. But,
okay,
like I said, you have to ask why they voted for it, and you have to ask them now. If I had known then what I know now. And I've heard many say, if I had known then what I know now, I most certainly would not have voted for that. Because
okay,
because I was hoodwinked.
Now,
don't let me be clear here.
Okay.
I fault John Kerry for that. I don't think a United States senator should get hoodwinked, but he did. He was.
Okay. Because that was the very first, and I'm telling you the truth, that was the very first I ever heard of it.
Well, I heard of it long before that. I heard of it, I don't know when you heard that, but I do know about when Kerry was talking about that. I heard it from Scott Ritter a long time before that. And just the same way Scott Ritter now is saying that we're going to go into Iran, I hope he's not right twice in a row. But he's out there saying that. We hope to have Scott back on the program again soon. But he's saying now that we're going into Iran about June of next year.
Okay. Hopefully. But I mean that was the thought in Washington D.C. That wasn't just the president.
Oh, it was. There aren't many secrets kept in that town. There really aren't, regardless of what people think.
Okay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thanks for calling. Let's see. We're going to George in Fort Myers. Hi, George.
Hi, Guy. Guy, I like to say a lot of things, but since we went to Iraq because of the weapons of mass destruction, and initially they were going to shoot atomic warheads across the Atlantic Ocean and blow America up, and then it's now it's we were liberators. I wonder, you were mentioning several times this evening how many American soldiers were killed. Nobody ever mentions, the liberal press never says anything about how many Iraqis, how many innocent Iraqis we killed liberating Iraq, and how many of them have been killed because we liberated Iraq and all these other terrorists and different sanctions have come in. It's never reported on.
I know. According to every, is a good point. I mean, according to everything I've heard, we've killed about 115,000 of them in order to liberate them.
Right. So if you think of 115,000 people, all have mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, daughters, cousins, relatives. So you think there's 115,000 times, you know, a dozen or two that must be very angry with America for coming over there and liberating them and killing their sons and daughters and fathers and mothers.
And they'll never, ever get over it.
No. If somebody came to liberate, you know, Florida from the United States or whatever it might be and killed, you know, your son and daughter and your mother, you wouldn't be very happy about it, I don't think.
No, I mean, I know people in the South that have never gotten over the Civil War.
That's true. But I'm just amazed because everybody is talking about the liberal press, and I never hear anything about all the Iraqis that were killed in our liberation. It just and I hear the Americans and, you know, on the right-wing talk shows say things like, well, there's ungrateful people. Why aren't they happy that we're there, you know, because we came to liberate them? And I'm thinking, well, maybe their daughter was killed in our liberation, and they didn't want us to come in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
anyway, that was my point.
Well, it's a good point. You know, every time we get involved in one of those situations over there, we come out the loser no matter what. It's just like in Iran. We backed the losing side in the Iran-Iraq war. And so they hate us now. And we, you know, we get involved. We always end up hated no matter what we do there.
One of the earlier callers sort of had a way that never understood when George Bush got elected the first time why we didn't refer to him as Papa Bush and Baby Bush, like Papa Doc and Baby Doc.
Yeah.
Maybe we should send them to France or wherever they send Papa Buck.
Sure. I don't know where Baby Doc is now anymore. Is he in France?
I don't know. I don't know where he went, but they threw him out of the country. He has exiled someplace.
Yeah, and with a pocket full of change, I'm sure.
Well, if we could exile Baby Bush, I wouldn't care if he took his change.
Yeah, let's give him whatever he wants out of the Treasury. I mean, if he wants a couple bill, let's give it to him.
Sure.
It'd be worth it. Hey, thanks for your call, George.
Thank you, bye.
You know, I love it when the Republicans call here and tell me how I'm damaging the Democratic Party. One after another, they do that. I didn't mean that to that caller, but the couple before that. I wanted to share with you something that I ran across this week. I thought that was really interesting. We talk about Mr. Sean Hannity on this program now and then, and I just wanted to share something. This was in the New York Daily News. Let's see. It says, if the conservative guest on Fox News, Hannity and Combs, sound especially on message, that's because they're being coached by the best, Sean Hannity himself. On March the 31st installments of the Shouting Head Show, the guest included two of the late Terry Schiavo nurses, Trudy Capone and Carla Sauer Iyer, arguing that their patient wasn't brain dead. I saw that episode that night. In fact, it was in order to show all his compassion, it was done right out in front of the hospice. Okay. So between commercials on that particular segment, somebody made an off-air audio tape. And these people from the New York Daily News got a hold of it. And Hannity was coaching the women on exactly how to respond when liberal co-host Alan Combs cross-examined them. And I quote, just say I'm here to tell what I saw, Hannity can be heard instructing his guests. No matter what the question, say I'm here to tell you what I saw. I'm here to tell you what I saw. And then Hannity, being real helpful, adds, say I'm not going to be distracted by silliness. How's that? Does that help you? Look into the camera and look at me when I'm talking. So on the air, Iyer performed really beautifully. She said, I don't have any opinions or judgments. I was there, she declared. And after the segment end, Hannity gushes off the air to the nurses. We got our points out. It's hard. This isn't easy, but you did great, both of you. Thank you, guys. Those nurses are powerful, aren't they? Well, yeah, they're powerful, really, when you tell them what to do, tell them what to say. They're very powerful when they follow instructions from the host. I got to tell you, that's something that never occurred to me. To arrange for a guest on this show, and we've had many, to call them up ahead of time and say, listen, this is what I want you to say. I can't imagine. If this caller calls and says this, you say this. I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine being that disingenuous. There's that word. Yeah, that disingenuous. I'm saying that to be polite. I can't imagine lying to my audience like that. Let me just say it like it is. And that's exactly what it is lying to your audience. Why would you do that? Huh? I wouldn't do it. Hey, speaking of craziness of the week, our own Mel Martinez down here in Florida that we talked about last week so much, Mr. Martinez, I'm so proud to have him as a senator. In Congress, they've got this TV Marty bill up, $189 million a year. How many of you know about TV Marty? They broadcast TV signals into Cuba from Miami so that the Cuban people can't, they broadcast signals in there. It's our propaganda thing to the Cuban people. That's frankly, that's what it is. It may be good propaganda, but it's propaganda nonetheless, and broadcast over there trying to break up the regime of Castro. We spent $189 million on that last year to broadcast TV signals into Cuba that the Cuban people can't see because the Cuban government blocks the signals. It's a complete waste of taxpayers' money. It's a total waste of taxpayers' money. But there you go. There's something that Mel Martinez stood behind this bill and said, well, you know, it's important that we're trying and important that we're really trying to do this. So here you've got a TV station over in Miami, TV Marty, and they're spending $189 million a year sitting there broadcasting to nobody. Now, I don't know what that figures out to be per viewer, but $189 million for something that doesn't work, never has worked, never will work. But that's okay with our senator from Miami, because after all, he's owned by the Cuban cartel over there and been bought and paid for. We had so much more we wanted to talk about this week, as usual, but we didn't get to it. I wish we had many more hours a week to talk about the issues. I did learn one thing, though, that I am going to be busy Monday. All of you that heard that call from that gentleman about these Democrats, some of the things they've been doing, I intend to look into that. And I must tell you, if we ever make a best of CD for this program, that's got to be included, I think, because it sure sobered me up real quick. Well, speaking of sobering up, I don't know. I want to be fair. From those of you around the country and around the world that don't know, that came from a little burg here called Matlachet, and it's one of the cutest little fishing towns you ever saw in the world. It's a beautiful place just outside of Fort Myers here. Beautiful place. I must tell you that, last week we did a tribute to Jeff Mattson, our New York Bureau, and we got a lot of nice comments about that, and Jeff will not be forgotten on the Democratic Underground. He won't be forgotten by any of his friends. And did want to mention that again tonight, that we are probably will continue to have a New York Bureau, but we'll never, in Jeff's honor, have another New York Bureau chief. We're just going to leave that seat open. So that seat will always be open, and we'll hear from New York Bureau from time to time, but never from the New York Bureau chief again, although he's in our hearts. We'll always be in our hearts, and we miss Jeff. We miss him. Everybody that knew Jeff misses him a lot, and just wanted to follow up on that a little bit this week. So come back and listen with us again next week. We'll be so glad to have you with us. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merritt. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.